Go Boomers!
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, April 24th, 2025. This is your award-winning Give Our Nation Media Assassination, episode 1758.
This is No Agenda.
Picking popes and broadcasting live for over 17 years from the heart of the Texas Hill Country here in FEMA Region Number 6. In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from Northern Silicon Valley, where we should be rolling out the No Agenda meme coin, I'm John C. Dvorak.
I was at a wedding last night, and people are asking me, like, what do you think of Trump's cryptocurrency? I'm like, do you really want me to get into this with you? His meme coin. Oh, man. So I'm at this wedding. This is the former.
Oh, this is the wedding you were at when Andrew tried to get hold of you.
Yes, this is the former Kerrville cop with anger management issues wedding.
Oh, there's nothing like a cop with anger management issues.
Well, especially since he's now the lieutenant for the sheriff's office of Gillespie County.
Okay.
Which is good. We like knowing our buddy Mike.
Yeah, so, I would think so. You don't want to piss him off.
So the whole, there's all, it must have been 10 sheriff's deputies all in uniform. Half of them looked like the mustache guy from the Village People for some reason. It's like, do you know you look kind of like that gay guy from the Village People?
Did you say that to him?
Yes, of course. They think it's funny. They think it's all hilarious.
No, good for them.
They're good guys. Yeah, so Andrew calls me. I'm like, no. So I text him, Max, no, I'm at a wedding. And then I decide I'm going to ghost him because he's now using it as engagement farming. He's all over X. Like, is there a feud? What's going on? What's happening? Ooh, what could be happening? Oh, he hasn't texted me back. I'm glad we can provide some promotion for DH Unplugged. I'm very. I haven't had a chance to listen to the show. Did he bring it up on Tuesday?
Kinda.
Yeah. Oh, did he? Because he did send me an email early in the week. He was befuddled. People are saying that we're fighting. Is everything okay? I presume it's an inside joke, right? 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 Come on, right? I'm like, I think so. I don't know. Maybe you should listen to our show. No.
Well, until you listen to the show, you'll be befuddled continually. Yeah.
Are we under martial law yet? Is the main question of the day.
Oh, that was supposed to happen on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't.
Right?
Yeah, guess not. Guess it hasn't happened.
Yeah, and I haven't seen anybody posting about it.
No.
Why it hasn't happened? Because they have to have a new date.
So there was.
It's been put off to some other date.
So I make a joke about this at the wedding yesterday, and. Joe was there, Laura Logan's husband. And apparently...
Was Laura there?
No. Who knows? She's doing a speech in Atlanta right now. She's all over the place. And apparently, he had already told a few people a week ago, oh, yeah, martial law is coming.
And like, was he a believer in this?
I guess so, because other people said, yeah, Joe, what happened to that? And I'm like, Joe, what? That's like a libtard thing. No. He just wouldn't do it on Easter. I'm like, come on, man.
What?
Yes. It's crazy. That's all right. And then I hit him right back with this. Okay. You know, it all changed when JFK Jr. is our vice president.
About screwball things, I have a bet with my son.
Okay.
I may have brought this up, but I don't think I have.
Okay. I'll remind you if you did.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. He made a substantial bet. And I have to put this down. I have to get this in writing. I have to send some email back and forth because I do have one witness. And he's just adamant about it.
Is one not enough? Do you need more witnesses? I think you have brought this up. That J.D. Vance will become president and then Trump will be vice president. He'll quit and then he'll become president.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and he's adamant about it. You told me that. We're all witnesses. You have a million witnesses. We've heard this.
Yeah, I know, but it has to be, yeah, he's going, what? I can't refer to a podcast. I can't dig it up and I have to make a note.
How dare you denigrate the show?
No, no, it's not that. It's that I have to keep track of the date of this podcast, then refer to it.
Oh, well. You can get it on Bing.
As opposed to something in an email, which I can put aside.
You'll be able to go to bingit.io and send a direct link to the audio. We have the best resources for this. The best.
But that's the kind of thing that's very similar to, that reminds me of the idea that we're going to have martial law for whatever. And there's no reason for any of this. There's no reason to expect Trump to pull a stunt like that, which would irk everyone.
Hey,
reason for him to pull a stunt like martial law.
Well,
all
of my screens here in the studio have identical breaking news. Trump on Ukraine war. We're getting close. We're getting closer. It's almost there.
There's no closer.
I actually have
fact, I think Russia bombed Kiev again this morning.
Yeah, this is it.
One of the worst attacks on Kiev since the start of the war. In an attack on the Ukrainian capital, Russia launched 215 missiles and drones overnight, according to the Ukrainian Air Force, causing the collapse of numerous residential buildings. Some residents, still in shock, were awakened by the explosions. I had time to get out when it exploded, and then there was nothing. The neighboring house was destroyed, and everything in our house flew away, and I didn't see anything. I'm scared. Others had time to find refuge in bomb shelters.
We were sleeping when we heard the first explosion. It was very strong. The windows in our apartment were damaged. Kitchen appliances flew off the countertop, but luckily we're alive.
Following the attack, the Ukrainian government denounced Russian President Vladimir Putin, saying he only has the desire to kill. President Zelensky said that Russia must stop strikes immediately and unconditionally. But after 3 years of fighting, some Ukrainians say they no longer believe that peace is possible.
I honestly don't know how this will all end. It's very scary. I don't believe it. I only believe that if we can stop them on the battlefield, that's it. Diplomacy doesn't work here. You can see it from the news, from the dead.
Attacks on Kyiv as well as Kharkiv resumed following a brief Easter truce.
Yeah, you know, this looked pretty bad, I have to say. And I don't think there's been a bombing in Kiev that has been this bad. And I'll kind of work backwards in the timeline, because before what happened last night, we had this.
Tonight, President Trump lashing out at Ukraine's President Vladimir Zelensky on social media. Right?
Is that not what we call hyperbole?
Lashing out used to be the pet phrase of Amy Goodman.
Lashing
Vladimir Zelensky on social media, writing, "He can have peace or he can fight for another 3 years before losing the whole country. The man with no cards to play."
Is this Martha Raddatz?
Yeah, sure is. Raddatz.
Is she still working?
Raddatz. Yeah, well,
I don't know why I go think her name is Raddatz.
From now on, she is Martha Radnick. That's fine.
Radnitch.
We have pet names for people in the show. Yes, she's still working.
No cards to play. Should now finally get it done.
Nice. I don't know if that was a quote or editorializing.
Trump, angered by Zelensky's refusal to accept a U.S. proposed peace deal that would prohibit NATO membership for Ukraine and would include Ukraine giving up land that Russia has seized since its invasion.
There it is.
In addition to giving up Crimea. Zelensky saying, "There's nothing to talk about. It is our territory, the territory of the Ukrainian people." Vice President J.D. Vance threatened to end the negotiations if Ukraine does not accept the U.S. proposal that calls for Ukraine to give up land to Russia.
"We've issued a very explicit proposal to both the Russians and the Ukrainians, and it's time for them to either say yes or for the United States to walk away from this process."
And what's odd about this is just around this time, we got this news about President Putin.
Russian President Vladimir Putin has expressed for the first time in years a willingness to hold direct talks with Ukraine. This marks potential diplomatic movement as pressure mounts from the U.S. for both sides to reach a ceasefire deal. Speaking to Russian state media, Putin claimed Moscow was open to discussing the possibility of halting strikes on civilian infrastructure with Kyiv.
How'd that work
out? President Vladimir Zelensky has also signaled readiness for dialogue. proposing a 30-day ceasefire to end attacks on civilians. Though Russia has yet to accept the offer. As talks intensify, the US has warned that it could withdraw its support for peace efforts if there's no visible progress. With negotiations set to continue in London this week, the coming days could determine whether renewed diplomacy finally leads to peace.
So it's interesting when you look at these four screens. So I have Fox, MSNBC, CNN, and the BBC. The white balance, the color of the Oval Office is so different in each one.
So that shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah. So Fox is very vibrant. MSNBC actually looks a little out of focus. CNN looks somewhat washed out. And the BBC, the gold behind the president on the fireplace is just beaming at me. It's interesting.
Well, that's being done on purpose.
You got to think it. Or no, people just don't care anymore. Or maybe they just run AI over this stuff. Well, white balance, schmite balance. Let the computer do
well,
it.
Well, the idea that they don't care, they're careless or they're sloppy or they don't, you know, that is possible.
Yeah.
But I would get the impression that they...
Purposeful. Let's look at the headlines. Purposeful.
But then again, you know, it's the falling off of quality of MSNBC and CNN over the years could be reflected in a lot of different ways.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me.
I have the NTD version of the update between Russia and Ukraine. It's the Russia-Ukraine update. The
president also talked about Russia and Ukraine today. Tell us the latest on that.
Sure. So inside the Oval Office, President Trump now said that he thinks Russia is ready to have a deal and that the U.S. already has a deal with Russia. But it turns out that Ukraine is now the more difficult one to negotiate with. Watch.
I think Russia is ready. And a lot of people said Russia wanted to go for the whole thing. And I think we have a deal with Russia. We have to get a deal with Zelensky. And I hope that Zelensky, I thought it might be easier to deal with Zelensky. So far, it's been harder, but that's okay. It's all right. But I think we have a deal with both. I hope they do it because I'm looking to save. And, you know, we spend a lot of money, but this is about a lot of humanity.
Meanwhile, in the Truth Social post this afternoon, President Trump criticized Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky for making it more difficult to settle the war by saying that Ukraine won't recognize Russia's claim of Crimea, which happened back in 2014. And meanwhile, Zelensky responded later by pointing to a 2018 statement during the first Trump term, saying that the U.S. will never recognize Russian sovereignty over Crimea. Meanwhile, Vice President J.D. Vance today is saying that if Russia and Ukraine don't strike a deal, the U.S. would well just walk away. And meanwhile, the U.S. is focused on talking with Russia this week with Trump's special envoy, Steve Witkoff, in Russia this week to talk to Russian President Vladimir Putin for the fourth time.
You know, the problem with all of this, let's say we get a truce, end of the war. There are so many weapons that have now been funneled from Ukraine into Europe. I mean, it's undeniable. And we're talking assault rifles, grenade launchers, anti-tank weapons.
Why would they be going to Europe and not Africa?
Well, I would say they'd be funneled through Europe. But think about the people who are in Europe, the people who have been let in.
Oh, you think there could be a fifth column.
Yeah. Well, fifth column. I mean, just nut jobs throughout Europe. We kind of saw this after, what was it? What was the Yugoslav wars, the 90s? Lots of weapons throughout Europe. And, you know, we had gangs using them, terrorist attacks. And now we've got all kinds of crazy people in Europe. The war could be going to the streets. I think Europe may not be realizing what could possibly happen if this
ends.
Well,
that's kind of a grim view of things.
Well, I have a kid there, you know, so I think about these things. Yeah, it is grim, but you know, weapons have a weird way of going the other direction. It's not that hard. So I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the demilitarized zone is what it would have to be. You keep Crimea, you got a DMZ, and it's the end of it.
Yeah, well, they can't seem to get this to happen.
Well, because they like the war. The European leadership likes it. They're all in. They can't turn back their financing and all these
things. There has to be something behind Zelensky's reluctance. Well, besides it's just pigheadedness. It's got to be the Europeans telling him, don't worry about it. We'll back you up.
Yeah, we'll put you in the EU. You'll become a part of Europe. We promise. Pinky swear. Come on. Just keep going. Keep going. Don't stop. Here's your script. Yeah. I would think so. Anyway, happy news, everybody. Happy days. Good times. It's all fantastic.
So there's I got a couple of clips on Elon Musk quitting.
Now, is it quitting or is he going to reduce his involvement?
I think he's not quitting or reducing. I think he's just saying all this.
You don't even think it's true at all. So there's no pullback.
He's got his team in place. He likes to be in the
know.
Well, not that, but it's within the power structure.
He should take a sabbatical or say he's taking time to focus on his multiple families.
He should. You're right. I think he's trying to do that, but he's doing it in a funny way. I've got some clips from NPR, which will have a slant to him. And so this is Musk out.
Okay.
Elon Musk says he'll pull back from his work in the Trump administration to focus on running his electric car business, Tesla. For the last few months, Musk has had massive access and power within the White House.
Power.
NPR's Danielle Kurtzleben reports on the relationship that was mutually beneficial until things got complicated.
On election night, Donald Trump gave special attention to one of his biggest supporters.
Oh, let me tell you, we have a new star. A star is born, Elon.
Their political courtship was only a few months old. Musk endorsed Trump shortly after the July assassination attempt in Butler, Pennsylvania. Musk later explained his attraction at another Trump rally in Butler in October.
We had one president who couldn't climb a flight of stairs, and another who was fist pumping after getting shot.
Elon!
Fight! Blood coming down the face.
Musk would go on to spend $250 million supporting Trump and other Republicans in the 2024 election. By the time Musk took the stage at Trump's October Madison Square Garden rally, Trump had already said Musk would lead a project they called the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. Howard Lutnick, who is now Commerce Secretary, introduced Musk.
How much do you think we can rip out of this wasted $6.5 trillion Harris-Biden budget?
Well, I think we can do at least $2 trillion.
Yeah!
Musk brought a chaotic energy to his new political role. He grabbed headlines when he twice made a straight-armed gesture that resembled a Nazi salute at Trump's inauguration. Musk denied that, then joked about it on social media. Once Trump took office, Musk was everywhere.
I keep getting notes from the EU, from the European countries, mainly the Netherlands, who correct me on Tesla. Say, no, you're wrong. The reason some people are not buying Teslas or renouncing their ownership is because of the Nazi salute and his support of AFD. They truly think he's a Nazi.
Yes, I believe this to be true. Yeah. I've noticed this following some of the foreign news coverage. There is this strong belief that he's, and you see it even on late night comedy shows. He's a Nazi. Period. It's just not even. It's not even an issue. It's not even a question.
It's
we know
obvious.
It is.
Yeah, he did this, and that's what you do as a. I mean,
it's what Nazis do.
It's like, it's delusional.
Do you think
it's truly, but it's concerning. It's concerning that people, you know, that the machine is so strong that people actually believe this, whether they've even seen it or not, or they maybe seen a picture somewhere. They hear people talking about it.
Shot of him giving this, you know, doing a salute. I mean, Waltz did the exact same salute.
No, I know. We know that. Everyone who's listening to the show knows that. But that doesn't matter. The fact that you can still launch that into the media, into the universe, really, into the ether. Let's put it that way. You can launch that into the ether, and people just go, oh, yeah.
And make it stick.
And it sticks, yeah. I mean, we all should be very worried about that. That is, yeah, it's a phenom for sure.
Yeah, it's amazing, and that's why we have to, it has to be fought, but it's a hopeless battle.
That's why you listen to the No Agenda Show, because it makes you smarter. It also makes you more it makes you more attractive to the opposite sex and the hit of every party.
It does.
Thank you, Darren.
So they continue with this is more, and as you listen to this, this is kind of like an eulogy. They talk about the entire Musk story. It's more like a movie.
Oh, are they sad he's going? Is that what's happening? They're like, oh, well.
I can't say that's the case. It's just like they're wrapping it. It's like a wrap.
Maybe
Musk wrap.
Maybe they Musk wrap. I like that. Maybe it's because they had all the packages and the scripts written when they told everybody that they were going to break up months ago. And they're just like, oh, we still got this stuff on the shelf. Should we use it now, both?
That's always possible. I don't think NPR is that into having these, because that's TV stuff, because you have it, that takes more work. But it's possible. Here we go.
Riding on Air Force One and taking questions with the president in the Oval Office, once with his 4-year-old son in tow. Trump was generous with Musk, constantly praising him and letting him speak at length, even at cabinet meetings. At the first one, Trump jokingly chided Musk at one point.
Hey, Elon, let the cabinet speak just for a second.
At Doge, Musk had almost unrestricted ability to look at the details of agencies that oversaw his businesses, companies that do a lot of work for the federal government. He gleefully set to work reshaping the bureaucracy he railed against as a businessman, even brandishing a chainsaw on stage at a conservative conference earlier this year.
This is the chainsaw for bureaucracy.
A little bit out of context, but okay.
Chainsaw!
Under Musk, Doge has effectively dismantled some agencies and left others reeling.
He must have had the MMR jab as a kid. There's no doubt about it. Musk is so on the spectrum, it's not funny anymore.
Under Musk, Doge has effectively dismantled some agencies and left others reeling after slashing tens of thousands of jobs. But big savings have been hard to find. On the campaign trail, Musk had said he was shooting for $2 trillion. But by a cabinet meeting earlier this month, the goal was much smaller.
I'm excited to announce that we anticipate savings in FY26 from reduction of waste and fraud by $150 billion.
Courts have halted many of Doge's actions, including attempts to obtain access to sensitive data. By spring, Trump was saying that cabinet members would be taking more of the lead in making decisions about their agencies.
Hundreds of billions of dollars of waste and fraud and abuse has been already found. And that doesn't mean they don't have a little bit of an argument here and there about something, or maybe personnel arguments.
There were also signs that Musk was becoming a political liability. He spent and campaigned heavily for the conservative in a Wisconsin Supreme Court election in April, who then lost.
You know, the conservative television and radio media, they don't really cop to the fact that it's $150 billion, significantly less than what was promised.
Well, there's an assumption that it's going to continue and grow. $150 billion isn't chicken feed.
No, this is what we gave to Ukraine. We guess. We don't even know that. We don't know anything. We know anything about the numbers.
We don't know anything.
It's just, we know nothing. It's just numbers that people throw out there. Who knows? Who knows? But, you know.
Left $80 billion plus in gear in Afghanistan that could have been retrieved. That's $80 billion. There you go.
I'm not looking at the actual value. It's the marketing numbers. The marketing numbers. $1 billion is nothing these days. We didn't even know what came after a million when I was a kid. What comes after a million? I don't know. You know, we had no idea with all of our devaluation of currency through printing, now the billionaire is the new millionaire. And we don't even think about what that means anymore. If you went on the street and said, How many millions is a billion? I don't think people even know.
Oh, they know.
So they've come up with 5% of their proposed savings. That's not impressive. It's a lot of money, but it's not impressive. And they're not saying more to come. So marketing-wise, I think it's kind of a flop.
They are saying more to come. It's that these reports aren't saying more to come.
Well, they're also saying he's not Hitler, but the reports say he is. So I'm just looking at perception of the media.
Well, let's wrap it with the third clip.
Meanwhile, widespread Tesla takedown protests were happening at dealerships nationwide.
Elon Musk has got to go.
Musk openly disagreed with Trump's tariff policy, at one point calling trade advisor Peter Navarro dumber than a sack of bricks. Musk's job at Doge was always supposed to be a temporary assignment. Recently, Trump has been vague about Musk's future, but complimentary as always.
Well, I think he's amazing, but I also think he's got a big company to run, and so at some point he's going to be going back. He wants to.
Would you want to keep him around?
I'd keep him as long as I could keep him. He's a very talented guy.
This week, Tesla reported dismal earnings, and Musk announced to shareholders that he would be paring back his role at Doge. The White House has not responded to NPR's questions about how much Musk will be scaling back.
I do have, a Franz Van Contra clip about that includes some of the quarterly call. That's the one where everybody typically calls up and says, great Q, guys, really good. Not so in this case.
It hasn't been a great year for Tesla, the U.S. automaker headed by billionaire Elon Musk. For months, protesters have been vandalizing Tesla cars and showrooms, upset at Musk spearheading mass layoffs at major government agencies.
Now, if we were running France 24, and this guy auditioned, would you say, yeah, that's a go for on-air voice?
Play it again.
Through his work at Doge, it's been so bad that President Donald Trump has threatened to imprison the protesters in El Salvador.
I'd be like, no, pass.
I think it'd be more for some gay channel.
Deliveries of Tesla's aging lineup of cars have nosedived, and Tesla's profits have been hollowed out. Tesla's net income has fallen 71% from the same time last year. Investors have sold off the company's stock at a rapid pace, causing its price to drop by about half since December. Nonetheless, on an earnings phone call with analysts on Tuesday, Musk defended his work with the Trump administration.
There's been some blowback for time that I'm spending in government with the Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE. I believe the right thing to do is to just fight the waste and fraud and get the country back on the right track and working together with the President Trump and his administration. Because if the ship of America goes down, we all go down with it, including Tesla and everyone else.
Yielding to investors' worries, Musk said that next month he will begin allocating more time to Tesla and cut back his time at Doge. He returns as the company faces difficulties from Trump-imposed tariffs. Tesla paused imports of some China-sourced components after U.S. tariffs on the Asian country rose to 145%. China has responded with tariffs of its own, leading Tesla to suspend some orders in the country.
I was watching a report on BYD at the Shanghai Auto Show. They launched the new models. Oh, man. Those are gorgeous.
I know.
They're really like cool looking car. I mean, I still would not want a battery car, but they're cool looking cars. You know, and then you look at the Tesla, it's like, feels kind of 2010-ish.
It's old fashioned looking.
Yeah. Yeah, that's his
problem.
It was
good looking when it came out.
Well, he had that designer guy, right? He had the OG designer.
He had some designer that did they've been kind of like, that guy wasn't around anymore, and everything's gotten stale looking.
After the S.
S was the good looking one.
Wasn't that the guy who designed the car that kept catching on fire? Remember that one?
Fisker.
He's just driving 5 feet, catches on fire.
I thought it was, but it turns out I don't know if it was or not. I wrote something up about the designer, and then I got people saying, no, you got the wrong guy. And so I don't know what the story is with any accuracy on who designed the original S. But
that guy's not there. Whoever it was, he's not there.
He's not there. That's the point. Yes.
I do have a related clip, which is from Al Gore, who had this very, it's
Well, I'm glad you got the Al Gore stuff. This you gave the speech.
Yes.
And by the way, I did mention in the newsletter. We missed again.
Oh, no.
I think
Earth
for
Day.
The 15th year in a row.
Earth Day.
How we can missed we our keep annual it? Earth Day promotion.
Yes. Shame on you. I saw the local news doing a thing about Earth Day cocktails.
Yeah, what's that? But dirt in a jar?
No, it's just alcohol. And it's just you cut up the lime so you can make it look like the continents, and then you drink it on Earth Day. I'm like, what is this? Not, they don't even have anything to say about it. It's so deluded. Day. Who even organizes Earth Day? Do we even know who's in charge of this? Hold on a second.
I think whoever designed it. I think didn't this start in the 70s?
Let's see here. Earthday.org, the official site. I'm being verified by Cloudflare. They don't think I'm a human. I've been approved. Okay.
You've been kicked.
Here we go. About us. About us.
About.
Let's see. Our vision. No, it doesn't say anything. Oh, board of directors. Oh, a bunch of ugly people. Let me see about. Oh, they have their history. What's their history then? Yes. Earth, every year on April 22nd, Earth Day marks the anniversary of the birth of the modern environmental movement in 1970. You are right. The stage was set for change.
The environmental movement did not begin in 1970.
No. Well, but here it is. The stage was set for change with the publication of Rachel Carson's New York Times bestseller, Silent Spring, in 1962.
Well, they're a little 8 years later is what they're saying.
Yeah. Senator Gaylord Nelson.
Now, Silent Spring was a massive bestseller.
Yeah. Did you read it?
Yeah.
What was it about?
It was about how we're going to all die.
Oh, an uplifting book. Anyway.
From pesticides and things.
Oh, yeah. And acid rain. No, that came later.
No, that's later.
Yeah. We had acid rain. We had the ozone hole. I remember as a kid, we had the ozone hole.
The ozone layer. That was in the...
The hole in the ozone layer.
That was in the 70s.
We'd be looking up like, where is it? How come I can't see it? How do I see the... It's because of your washing machine. Here's...
It was Freon. It was a refrigerator that was causing the ozone
refrigerator.
Layer.
Okay. Hole. Yeah. Another good one.
Freon.
Yeah, Freon. But then they came up with something else. It doesn't use Freon. And then it was hairspray.
Yeah, it was more toxic, but it doesn't put a hole in the
And then there was hairspray. Hairspray was doing it.
Hairspray bad.
Yeah, I personally am responsible for a lot of
things
in the environment during the 80s and 90s. Al Gore does this very interesting thing. He says, yeah, I don't like calling people Hitler, but, these guys are Hitler.
I want to note that is not a precedent. I understand very well why it is wrong to compare Adolf Hitler's Third Reich to any other movement. It was uniquely evil, full stop. I get it. But there are important lessons from the history of that emergent evil, and here is one that I regard as essential. In the immediate aftermath of World War II, a small group of philosophers who had escaped Hitler's murderous regime returned to Germany and performed a kind of moral autopsy on the Third Reich. The most famous of the so-called Frankfurt School of philosophers was a man named Jürgen Habermas, best known, I would say. But it was Habermas.
Do you know who that guy was? Jürgen Habermas? What's his name?
No. I know about the Frankfurt School, but I don't know specific guys.
Okay.
Famous of the so-called Frankfurt School of philosophers was a man named Jürgen Habermas, best known, I would say. But it was Habermas's mentor, Theodor Adorno.
Do we know him?
Yeah.
Yes?
He wrote a book called The Authoritarian Personality.
Oh, okay.
Very famous guy.
Oh, thank you.
Who wrote that the first step in that nation's descent into hell was, and I quote, the conversion of all questions of truth into questions of power.
Conversion of all questions of truth into questions of power. So let's see, can he, how is he going to spin this to trust?
How is he going to spin this?
He described how the Nazis, and I quote again, attacked the very heart of the distinction between true and false, end quote.
Ah, we're going to do some lies.
The Trump administration is insisting on trying to create their own preferred version of reality. They say Ukraine attacked Russia instead of the other way around.
Never said that.
I don't think they ever said that. They said they provoked.
No, this is a creation. Talk. See, what he's going to do
is lie.
He's the liar.
Yes. But that's
so
what you
take,
do.
You take the examples, you create a methodology that you show that the other side's bad, and then you use the same those techniques against the audience. This is really good.
He's good at it.
On trying to create their own preferred version of reality. They say Ukraine attacked Russia instead of the other way around. And expect us to believe it. At home, they attack heroes who have defended our nation in war and against cyber attacks as traitors.
Well, he's talking about the veterans. Remember, he said they're losers because they, John McCain.
Oh, another lie.
Yeah, loser.
Losers, suckers, and losers.
Suckers and losers. Yeah, it's the suckers and losers. Yes.
They say the climate crisis is a hoax.
Well, yeah. Okay, I'll give you that one.
Invented by the Chinese to destroy American manufacturing.
Oh, a little laugh tell there. Invented by the Chinese. No, invented by you. That's why he's laughing. Like, they say it's the Chinese. It was me.
They don't know anything. I'm the one who did it.
I'm the one who did that.
They say coal is clean.
No.
What did he say? What was that one?
They say coal is clean. No, they're talking about clean coal.
Yeah, clean coal.
Which is marketing. Agreed. But it is much cleaner than it used to be. So he...
Coal is coal. The problem is coal is coal. It's not. It doesn't change. It doesn't.
No.
You know, the lignite, which is the good coal, which is pretty clean, doesn't change over the eons. It's the same damn stuff, except that the methodology, the floating bed burners, and all the rest of it that create coal power, coal power energy, has improved over the years with scrubbers on the one end and the floating bed on the other, and you get a pretty good burn job without it being a mess. So that's what they're referring to when they say clean coal.
But he takes the president...
He's a liar.
Well, he takes the president's words literally by saying, because he said, clean, beautiful coal. I guess.
They say coal is clean. They say wind turbines cause cancer. They say sea level rise.
That's never happened either.
I don't think anyone said it.
Who said the wind turbines cause cancer?
The president may have alluded to it at some point.
No, he made some joke about it.
Why, about Martha, I can't watch the TV. But people have definitely claimed to become sick from the sound of wind turbines, and there have been higher instances of cancer near wind farms. But, we still don't know what is causing all of this cancer everywhere. We have no idea. What could it be? So... Anyway,
they say wind turbines cause cancer. They say sea level rise just creates more beachfront property.
Well, yes.
Nobody says this.
No, he did. The joke was, if the sea level rises, then it's what I always say. If we're really going to have sea level rise, I'll have beachfront property in Fredericksburg. That's the joke.
I'll have it right here for sure.
Yes. So it's a joke, but okay, I guess he takes it seriously.
Their allies in the oligarchic backlash to climate action argue that those who want to stop using the sky as an open sewer, for God's sake.
The sky is an open sewer. Now, there's a lie.
Need to be more realistic and acquiesce to the huge increases in the burning of more and more fossil fuels, which is what they're pushing, even though that is the principal cause of the climate crisis.
Oh, yeah, there you go. So the oil and gas guys are busy. They are very busy. Because all this nuclear talk, all this talk about, even at the wedding last night. By the way, who gets married on a Wednesday night?
I'm sorry, what?
Who gets married on a Wednesday night? Wednesday night's a weird
night. That's what Horowitz is asking everybody.
Yes. Well, he's just a sheriff's lieutenant. He doesn't have a lot of money. So I think that's it.
Oh, Wednesday, discount night for marriage.
Yes, it's discount night. they ask for money for their honeymoon instead of gifts, which I'm cool with.
Did they?
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. I get it.
Well, he works for the police department. You know, they make money, but they could use more.
He doesn't make a lot of money. And for getting shot at. No, he doesn't make a lot
no,
of money.
No, not for getting shot or dealing with the public. No.
He runs the SWAT team and everything. Yeah, he's a cool dude. He's a good guy to have on speed dial. Let me tell you that. He's the guy you want as a friend. Anyway, so all this talk.
What did he have a SWAT team there for?
It's Fredericksburg, man. We got MS-13. We got Tren de Aragua here. According
to one guy?
According to Laura Logan's
husband. He's like a Lyft Uber driver, does both?
Yeah. No, they just live here. You see, they don't cause trouble here. They just live here. We got this all last night from Joe in the car. There's Tren de Aragua's everywhere. They're here. They're right here in Fredericksburg. They just live here. Oh, okay. Well, I feel good about that then. Anyway. All this talk about data centers going on nuclear, the Three Mile Island being, or part of it being fired up again. Nuclear, nuclear, nuclear. Bill Gates, everybody nuclear. We can't have this. Let's call CBS. Hello, CBS. We'd like to do a buy. Yeah, we'll do triple the rate. So we do 360s. And could you make it into a package? Why, sure.
Just 15 miles away from St. Louis's Gateway Arch, nuclear waste was stored for decades.
It was all top secret.
Linda Maurice lived near Coldwater Creek for 18 years. The waterway ran right by the storage site.
There was a deposit site where the processes and waste of the Manhattan Project had been...
What? The Manhattan Project? Was that a nuclear project?
Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, the nuclear bomb, but they tested it with waste on the ground?
I have no idea what she's talking about.
I mean, wasn't that in the desert somewhere?
It was in the New Mexico.
Yeah.
Where the processes and wastes of the Manhattan Project had been stored, that is to say, dumped in the open or put in barrels that rusted.
Eventually, Linda's mother, father, and brother would all die of lymphoma.
I think there are people to this day who don't know the story.
It wasn't until 1989, 43 years after the waste was first dumped, that the Environmental Protection Agency classified the area as hazardous. They said it was dangerously contaminated and ordered a government cleanup. But by that time, more than 60,000 people lived within just 1 mile of the creek, including Kristen Camuso.
I had to have a total hysterectomy. I've been diagnosed with thyroid cancer. They found a new tumor on my remaining adrenal gland.
And this is horrible fear-mongering, the way I see it.
Now, where was this?
Pennsylvania.
Why would they move it from all the way from New Mexico to Pennsylvania? Why, when they have New Mexico and Arizona and Nevada is like Nevada. Nevada. Yeah, tell me. Nevada, they're loaded with deserts that could be used. Dug holes can be dug. Stuff can be tossed in there with nobody nearby. It makes no sense to me.
Well, the tell here is the Manhattan Project. I mean, do you get nuclear waste before the fusion is before the atoms have clashed and the heat is generated?
Well, they were doing they had to do some extraction, I suppose, in the process. It's possible.
Camuso is the policy director for the Missouri Coalition for the Environment. She's been pushing for the remaining waste to be removed for more than 12 years.
I was quite literally laying in my hospital bed, and I promised myself.
By the way, stop the clip. Another good reason to pay attention to the tips of the day on the No Agenda show, and you would buy a Geiger counter.
Yes.
And you would know what's going on. Anyway, I'm not
well.
Sorry
no. Well, now you've made me stop for a second because I was going to talk about this later, but something very concerning has taken place. Let me see if I can find it here.
With the Geiger counter?
No, with the tip of the day.
Oh, there is another scandal.
Yes,
the tip of the day has become the most scandalous part of the show.
Yes.
I think it has to do with the live disc product.
This is the scandal. This is the Bill O'Reilly show.
Now we have a brand new thing for concierge and premium members called Tip of the Day.
What?
Starts tomorrow.
What?
And every day on the website, I'm going to put a tip that will make your life better. That's a lot of tips. Some of them will be frothy, entertainment. There's a good book to read. There's a good movie to see. Whatever, man, that kind of thing. But some will be important. Okay? Just for concierge and premium members.
We should be doing it for premium members.
Concierge.
Concierge
and the
members.
Bundle. The No Agenda Bundle.
Concierge members of the No Agenda Show get their tip of the day, but only if you're a concierge member. Man, that guy just ripped us off.
Ripped off Dana Brunetti.
Dana Brunetti should be outraged. He should send him a cease and desist.
I think so.
Last year, Camuso and the Washington University Environmental Law Clinic analyzed the Corps' cleanup plans. Not only are they concerned about the slow pace, they say the Corps is leaving behind nearly three times more radioactive isotopes than the Department of Energy said is safe.
What they're finding is mostly thorium-230, and that is an alpha emitter.
What does that mean?
So basically, it becomes dangerous when you inhale or ingest it, and once it's in your body, it will continue to fire for the rest of your life.
The Corps told us their cleanup plans are safe, but the Environmental Protection Agency wasn't convinced. CBS News found that in 2020, EPA scientists asked the Corps for specific data on the contamination, but the Corps did not respond to those requests.
Everybody has been touched by this legacy, and I feel it's a responsibility of mine. Now that I know this information, I can't just sit on it.
The Corps has promised an update on the contamination in 4 months when it's set to publish its latest five-year review. But while the people here wait for the threat to be dealt with, the creek continues to flow.
Okay, so I can't see that any other way than that's oil and gas. You know, like, let's get something going. What do we? Hey, remember that thing we had in Pennsylvania in the 70s? Let's bring that back. You got anybody who's dying of cancer? Yeah, let me see. Yeah, we got
that's
this.
That's actually an interesting theory of yours. Because that it doesn't really benefit anybody to do these stories except oil and gas. Now, we had the same thing around here. We have a nuclear waste dump on Treasure Island in San Francisco.
Yes, I remember.
It's over in one corner. I know exactly where it is. And they supposedly buried it or just, I don't know what they did, but now they put buildings over there because they've privatized the island. And
wasn't Google or something going to buy that at some point? Do I remember something like that?
There's a bunch of these screwball things that go on around, and it's all military. You know, the military, the vaunted military, they get a hold of something, and they don't care.
So lots of fear mongering. I only have the opening, which will tell you enough. 60 minutes. Now, of course, we need to blame everything on Trump.
Bird flu has been circling the globe for decades. So the discovery in 2024 that the deadly pathogen had jumped from a wild bird to a cow came as a shock to virus watchers.
It came as a shock to hey, how many virus watchers do you know? Shh, be quiet. I'm watching a virus.
Now, in just over a year, the virus has ripped through America's dairy herds and poultry flocks. It has jumped to other mammals, including humans.
Implying it could jump from human to human. This is an obvious pharma segment here.
70 Americans have caught the virus. One has died. Long feared as a possible pandemic, doctors and veterinarians fighting the virus told us Biden's government was slow to act, while the Trump administration has now laid off more than 100 key scientists.
As
the virus keeps spreading.
Yeah, so when you die, you know who to blame. When we create this, you'll know who to blame. The question is, can we actually ramp up another pandemic now that the World Health Organization is falling apart?
He described the large sudden drop in funding in U.S. foreign aid as severe. The United Nations Health Agency has no choice but to slash jobs and operations.
The refusal of the U.S. to pay its assessed contributions for 2024 and 2025, combined with reductions in official development assistance by some other countries, means we are facing a salary gap for the 2026-27
salary.
This is about the, for some reason, the beginning got cut off, but it's about the World Health Organization saying they have to lay off people. But listen to the
I thought Bill Gates was financing this and the Chinese. Why do we have anything to do with it?
When you hear the numbers, you'll understand why.
Some other countries means we are facing a salary gap for the 2026-27 biennium of between $560 and $650 million.
In addition to stopping
That's $500 million salaries alone.
Contributions the Trump administration plans to fully withdraw from the organization next January. In remarks to member states, the WHO chief Dr. Tedros said they would be saying goodbye to a significant number of colleagues. He said the funding gap represented about 25% of staff costs. But
it's only 25%. Their salary is $2 billion a year?
For what?
Thank you. They've got, you know, the video shows buildings everywhere. What are they doing? They actually explain what they do.
Stress that did not mean a 25% cut in the number of positions. The leadership team in the organization's headquarters will be reduced, and there's a possibility some WHO offices in wealthier countries will be closed. The agency, which coordinates the world's response to health emergency, prevents disease, and expands access to...
It prevents disease. Don't you hear that?
Oh, they do that.
Yeah. With the $2 billion, apparently.
...healthier countries will be closed. The agency, which coordinates the world's response to health emergency, prevents disease, and expands access to healthcare, needs to reduce its activities and recenter on its core functions. The news comes shortly after WHO member countries finalized an historic agreement to help prevent the next pandemic.
And they were going to help prevent the next pandemic with an agreement. They have paper.
So how many great pandemics have we had over history?
Two.
Well, recent history had two. We had the Spanish flu in 1917. Then we had 100 years later.
Yeah, we had another. COVID.
So it's about every 100 years.
Yeah, so two that I can recall. And we had the Black Plague, of course.
That's way before. That was, I think, the 1400s.
That was Elizabeth the Great.
But there was a Elizabeth. Great.
She was great. What was her name? It was Elizabeth the Great. I know I'm right.
It was no Elizabeth the Great.
Yes, it was. Her name of Russia.
Catherine the Great.
That's what I mean. Her name was Catherine Elizabeth the Great.
Catherine Elizabeth. Good Catholic girl. Mary Ellen Elizabeth. Catherine
Elizabeth the Great.
So,
that's why there's two of us, everybody, just so you know.
So they happen about every 100 years, maybe, but they keep trying to make them happen. This is what it looks like to me.
Oh, yeah. And here's
and proof. So we cut our foot. We just say, hey, get lost, you guys. And next thing you know, they're going out of business. Boy, were we the sole support of this opera? Is the U.S. taxpayer the sole support for all these bogus agencies and government operations?
Hey, Doge now has saved $151 billion. It's good news. That's how you need to look at it. $150 billion, $1 billion or two, let's call it $2 billion. So a little more than 1% funded the entire WHO. Just imagine what that $150 billion could be funding, what kind of nonsense. And the outflows of that funding of nonsense probably creates a lot more issues for people, certainly in the United States. But there's more, because now we have to keep on hammering away at Bobby Diop.
Misinformation about measles is spreading fast. A new poll
spreading
shows
fast.
Parents are not...
It's spreading like measles.
Wait, it's not measles, though. It's the misinformation.
Yes, it's
that's spreading
yes.
fast.
Misinformation.
But I like the way they put it together in such a way where in your brain, it sounds like measles is spreading fast. This is another one of these tricks we keep finding.
It's good.
Misinformation
of measles is spreading fast.
It's fantastic. Because
if you chop the sentence up, it just says measles is spreading fast.
It's great. It's perfect.
Misinformation about measles is spreading fast. A new poll shows parents are not sure what to believe about the measles vaccine. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has amplified some misconceptions about a link between the vaccine and the diagnosis.
That's another tricky word. He has amplified. Other people were saying, but he has amplified it with his amp. He's got an amp. The guy can barely talk.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has amplified some misconceptions about a link between the vaccine and the diagnosis of autism. An estimated 6 out of 10 adults have heard a false claim about the measles vaccine. Uncertainty has led some parents to delay or skip getting their child vaccinated altogether. There have been 800 confirmed measles cases across 24 states so far this year.
They forgot to mention how many dead. So the memory is a funny thing. I have been mentioning often about Robert De Niro, that he pulled a documentary from his Tribeca Film Festival. And I thought that he had created, that he was a documentary that he had created. And I knew that he had an autistic son. And, you know, so I've been, in fact, spouting misinformation. It's much worse. One of our producers sent me the OG clip from, I think it's the NBC Today Show, where De Niro and his co-founder of the Tribeca Film Festival, Rosenthal is her name, where they came on to explain what happened. This, to think that this is Robert De Niro, just keep that in your brain. This is Robert De Niro. Now, this is, I think this is 2015, maybe. It's at least 10 years old. But listen to this.
Is this pre-Trump?
This is, it may even be older than that.
Older than pre-Trump.
It's way older. It's pre-Trump for sure.
Okay, pre-Trump is all we need.
Pre-Trump is all I need to know.
There was a bit of controversy, some headlines at the beginning of this year's festival when it was announced that this film called Vaxxed would be screened at the festival. Later, the festival pulled it. Was it because of the backlash? Were you surprised that people reacted the way that they did?
I was shooting a movie. I was in the middle of a lot of stuff. I think the movie is something that people should see. There was a backlash which I haven't fully explored, and I will, but I didn't want it to start affecting the festival in ways that I couldn't see. But definitely there's something to that movie, and there's another movie called Trace Amounts. And there's a lot of information about things that are happening with the CDC, the pharmaceutical companies. There's a lot of things that are not said. I, as a parent of a child who has autism, I'm concerned, and I want to know the truth, and I'm not anti-vaccine. I want safe vaccines. When you get, some people can't get a certain type of shot, and they can die from it, you know, even penicillin. So why should that not be with vaccine, which it isn't?
So you said, you went public for the first time saying that your 18-year-old son does have autism. Yes. That had been a very private thing for you, and part of the reason you wanted this film shown was to start that conversation.
Absolutely.
Do you believe you'll now have a role in that conversation going forward?
Possibly, yes. Because the thing is that to shut it down, there's no reason to. If you're a scientist, let's see, let's hear. Everybody doesn't seem to want to hear much about it. It's shut down. And you guys are the ones that should be the investigating. Do the investigating.
So, a couple things here. One, the documentary called Vax, that's a Del Bigtree documentary. That was his first big breakthrough. Del Bigtree, who, of course, you know, produced The Doctors and all these different shows. And it was his, it's a great documentary. So the backlash. Now, do you remember where the backlash came from?
No.
Neither did I, but his co-founder of the festival, Rosenthal, explains it.
I think the film was controversial because people felt that the filmmaker had been discredited.
Even he, I'm not so sure about. At the end of the day, even him.
Jane,
well, the one thing, there weren't sponsors or donors that were threatening to pull out of the film festival. It was our filmmakers, and we're known for having amazing documentary films. You can take a look at our lineup, whether it's what we're starting with tonight or some other documentaries that are, you know, equally controversial that we have at the festival. So it was our filmmakers that were pulling out.
It was the filmmakers themselves who said, oh, if you air that documentary, I'm pulling out. I don't understand that at all.
Well, there should be more documentation of this. Who were these filmmakers that were pulling out?
I'm glad you asked.
It's a beautiful film, but it's another thing. It's the result of, it's not questioning how people, some people got autism, how the vaccines are dangerous, if not given, dangerous to certain people who are more susceptible. And they don't, nobody seems to want to address that, or they say they've addressed it, and it's a closed issue, but it doesn't seem to be, because there are many people who will come out and say, no, I saw my kid change like overnight. night. Mm-hmm. I saw what happened, and I should have done something, and I didn't. So there's more to this than meets the eye, believe me.
Is that the experience you had, Robert? Something changed overnight?
My wife says that. I don't remember, but my child is autistic, and every kid is different. But there is something there. There's something there that people aren't addressing. And for me to get so upset here today on the Today Show with you guys means there's something there. That's all I wanted was the movie to be seen. People can make their own judgment, but you must see it. And there are other films, other things that also just document and show. It's not such a simple thing.
I'm sorry. The answer to your question comes in this final clip. But please, don't you know, Mr. De Niro, the science is in?
Robert, it is nearly consensus in the scientific community that there's no link there. Do you believe that's not true?
I believe it's much more complicated than that. It's much more complicated than that. There is a link, and they're saying there isn't, but there's certain things. There's the obvious one is thimerosal, which is mercury-based preservative. But there are other things there that I don't know. I'm not a scientist, but I know because I've seen so much reaction about just let's find out the truth. Let's just find out the truth. I'm not anti-vaccine, as I say, but I'm pro-safe vaccine. And there are some people who cannot take a vaccine, and they have to be found out and warned that you just don't give a kid a bunch of shots, and then something happens. Some parents, even in this documentary, they say, I knew I shouldn't have done it. I knew I shouldn't have done it. I talked to the doctor. He's the doctor. I should listen. I did it. The next day, imagine how the parent feels.
The worry is that people who hear those words and wonder about it will then not have their child vaccinated, which has led to a higher incidence of things like mumps and measles, that kind of thing.
I don't know if those statistics are accurate. I'm not the one to say, but I would question even that. There's a kind of a hysteria, a knee-jerk reaction. Let's see. As I say, everyone should have the choice to take vaccines. Some places it's becoming mandatory, but it does benefit the big drug companies, funnily enough.
Okay, sorry, he didn't answer the question. He said he didn't know who the filmmakers were.
Well, I think it would be nice to bring up the liability thing, which I think would be, but nobody wants
but
to talk
imagine,
about that.
Imagine De Niro saying that now, today. People would lose their ever-loving minds.
Yes, well, he said it then, and he meant it
and
then.
And then they showed him a picture, and he shut up real quick.
Something happened. It's like probably him and Jenny McCarthy. I had a picture of two of them. I have the autism update clip.
Okay. Well, let's go.
National Institutes of Health Director Jay Bhattacharya says the project that will study the causes of autism will take longer than initially indicated. NTD correspondent Jason Blair reports.
NIH Director Jay Bhattacharya says that the study looking into the causes of autism will take a little longer than the projected September date by Secretary of Health Robert F. Kennedy Jr. Bhattacharya says that he thinks preliminary results will be pulled out within a year. The NIH will be leading the project that is expected to be formally announced within 2 weeks.
We're going to announce a series of new studies to identify precisely what the environmental toxins are that are causing it. This has not been done before.
Bhattacharya says that he thinks to answer the question of why autism is rising, there needs to be large samples of people. He says that they'd like to, quote, get access to the medical records of a large portion of the American population, and these records would be a very important part of the study. Dr. Bhattacharya says the reason that autism is rising is a question that is at the front of the minds of so many parents across the country worried about their kids. And yet, scientific progress on this has been slow because scientists are frankly scared to ask the question. Bhattacharya said that the budget for the study has not been set yet. And Health Director Robert F. Kennedy Jr. says that the Health Department will be restoring their Freedom of Information Act or FOIA offices.
And we're going to try to get as close as we can to total transparency.
DHHS told NTD sister media, The Epoch Times, that these cuts were part of streamlining operations and improving efficiency, and that the FOIA offices within the agency did not communicate with each other or report to the department.
The papers that we produce in this agency do not belong to us. They belong to the American people.
Man,
So they had the FOIA officers weren't producing any of the documents that people asked for.
Well, no, why would you?
The whole thing is just the most corrupt thing I've ever seen is the entire Health and Human Services Division.
Well,
this, and the tentacles of the pharmaceutical companies and all the fact over that, it. Yeah, the whole thing's ridiculous.
Headline, the top CDC vaccine safety officers' records appear to have gone missing. How about that?
The records of the payments from Big Pharma?
the pay stubs. Well, Bobby the Op was very busy. This has also been a long time coming.
From cereal to snacks to juices and yogurt, it's hard to shop for items that don't contain artificial dyes when you've got mouths to feed.
Mommy!
And you brought up kids who are protected.
Nice Nat Pop. Did you catch that?
I like it. Yeah, that's a good one.
It's great.
Contain artificial dyes when you...
like. You don't, so listen to this report, but when you have mouths to feed, mommy, you don't care if there's poison in there. You need to feed your kid because your kid's going, mommy.
For items that don't contain artificial dyes when you've got mouths to feed.
Mommy.
And you brought up kids who are potentially adversely affected. Some of what prompted step Tuesday to phase out the remaining 8 synthetic dyes from America's food supply by the end of next year.
And we're going to try to work with Congress and the White House to make sure that we have adequate labeling so mothers who go into the grocery stores know what is good for their children and what is not.
Health and Human Services Secretary RFK Jr. and the FDA announcing a national standard and timeline for the food industry to transition from petroleum-based dyes to natural alternatives.
I didn't know that they were petroleum-based.
Yeah.
It's just oil?
You can do amazing things with crude oil.
Yeah.
From petroleum-based dyes to natural alternatives. The FDA is starting the process to revoke authorization for citrus red number 2 and orange B in the coming months, and authorizing 4 new natural color additives in the coming weeks.
Do you know what the natural color additives are?
A lot of it comes from beetles.
Well, that's not what the guy said. Stand by.
For companies, a lot of vegetables. Beet is a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, close.
Additives in the coming weeks.
For companies that are currently using petroleum-based red dye, try watermelon juice.
Yeah! Watermelon juice.
Watermelon juice.
He has a little cup of watermelon juice all red and sappy.
Several dyes have been linked to behavioral issues in children or have been shown to cause cancer in mice, not yet in humans, but other countries have already banned the additives. The FDA is also partnering with the National Institutes of Health to find out what those dyes are really doing to children.
Yeah, nothing good.
No, a lot of the kids, there are examples of kids that that red dye number 2, I think, is the one of them.
Yes.
It gets them all riled up for some reason.
So there was a huge study published in JAMA. This is a Journal of American Medical Association.
I thought that should be in the RICO deal. What happened to that?
Well, I don't know.
Kennedy's promise.
Well, they published this, and this was a study, population-based study. Now, this is Finnish citizens from the Finns, born between January 1st, 1985, and December 31st, 1997, whose demographic, health, and school information were linked from nationwide registers. So, and they followed these kids up until their 17th year. And the question that they asked, of this study was, is having peers with a mental disorder in the same social network during adolescence associated with later risk of mental disorder? And mental disorder, of course, is everything that you can imagine it is, from ADHD to eating disorders to cutting to all this stuff. And so the findings, the very short conclusion, yes, the findings say that mental disorders might be transmitted with adolescent peer networks. And the only thing I can think as I'm reading through the study is social networks. This turbocharges this contagion.
Social contagion.
Yes.
Which affects teenage girls more than anything.
Yes. And so this is quite the study. I mean, there's a lot of, this is pretty robust data. And yes, there is classmates diagnosed with a mental disorder in the ninth grade of comprehensive school was associated with increased risk of receiving a mental disorder diagnosis later in life.
This would account for all the dancing.
I think it's more than dancing, but yes. Yes. This is what social media is doing to your kids. Literally, social networks. And they weren't even, they didn't even have social media when they were doing this. This was just kids hanging out.
Well, they should do the study again.
Oh, they'll never let that happen. When they find out the truth of that, oh, it's going to be so bad. It's going to be bad.
Yeah, it'd be so bad for my clippage.
Oh, give us some examples of social contagion, John. Do you have any trans Maoism TikTok clips to share?
Actually, I do have some trans Maoism TikTok clips.
Okay, all right.
And I want to start with this one. I got three clips.
Mm.
And this is the one that we should start with. Trans Wisdom. This is a very handsome looking girl giving us some thoughts about where trans is really headed.
Just so that we're all abundantly clear here, not only are trans people sacred, they are wildly, wildly evolved human beings. Oh. I'm going to invite you to imagine for a moment the amount of strength, courage, self-knowing, and profound self-development that is required in order to walk through the world in your authentic embodiment, knowing that most people will deeply misunderstand you. The average person will not walk through the world in their authentic embodiment, knowing that even one or two people in their circle will misunderstand them. From a psychological and a spiritual perspective, there is absolutely, other than love, nothing more important or more valuable than authenticity. That's why we come here into human bodies. We come here to self-actualize, to know who we truly are, and to live as our authentic selves. That's the whole point. Trans people are wildly evolved. And one day we will understand them as wisdom keepers and we will bow at their feet.
Wow. 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 All right. I'm going to give it to you. That was well worth it. Wow.
I did not expect that.
Well, it's interesting that, to walk boldly with your transness as who you are spiritually as a person is completely okay. But don't try that as a Christian. Interesting.
Well, so here's a good example of this kind of the wisdom that we're all going to bow down to from a trans person. And this is the misgendered clip.
I don't understand what is so hard about correcting other people when they misgender others. Like, it takes you like 2 seconds, but you know what it takes for me to have to constantly do that? A lot of fucking unnecessary emotional labor that I already have to take on a daily basis just to fucking exist and be who I am. But you don't have the energy to speak up and say something on my behalf?
Oh, tell me she had a GoFundMe. She needs a GoFundMe. She needs
well,
a GoFundMe.
Well, let's take another level up to another transgender person.
But wait, there's more. There's more.
Who also will be... I guess looking for great spiritual wisdom from this person.
So I'm coming home from a bar and I was kissing this straight guy. He wanted to take me to his house because, you know, he really liked me. And I told him I was on my period. But that's not true. I don't get my period. I just didn't want to tell them that I was trans.
Oh, man.
Oh, so these are the kind of trans geniuses out there that we have to expect.
Bow down to. They are going to.
Bow down to.
They'll be the leaders of the free world.
Their wisdom. Okay.
Yes, and they will be. Well, probably the most email topic I received over the past week. I'm sure you can guess what it is.
No, I can't.
Oh.
What?
Who's the next pope going to be, Curry? Come on, Curry.
Yes.
Come
okay.
on, Curry. Don't you? Who's the next pope? You got to know. Who's the pope? You're the one.
Well, this is... I didn't guess that. I could have because, in fact, I was going to bring it up. I don't have it on my list, but I was going to bring it up with you.
Mm-hmm.
Although we have a week or so.
Oh, no, no. We have a couple weeks.
We got a couple. Well, we have a week before you have to make the prediction.
Yes.
Can't do it after the.
No, that would not be a prediction. That would be lame. No, that would not be good. And it's a tough one for me. But first, let's play some clips and see if we can get some insight.
Francis is the next head of the Catholic Church. A few names are already being mentioned. First, the Vatican Secretary of State, 70-year-old Pietro Parolin. He's an experienced diplomat and seen as a compromise candidate between progressives and conservatives. Another Italian, Matteo Maria Zuppi, the Archbishop of Bologna, is also a possibility. Like Francis, the 69-year-old cardinal is known for his social commitment to migrants and the poor and cares little about pomp and protocol. Outside Europe, there's Cardinal Sergio de Rocha from Brazil or Luis Antonio Tagle in the Philippines.
They will enter a conclave in a few weeks, men who come from Ulaanbaatar, Lesotho, East Timor, so truly from the four corners of the world, with concerns that will not be those of the European heavyweights.
It's not just where the next pope comes from, but also what direction that pope takes the church. Could the keys be given to another progressive? Jean-Marc Aveline, the Archbishop of Marseille, shares the same views on immigration and church relations with other religions as Francis. On the other hand, the College of Cardinals could choose a more conservative-leaning pope like Robert Serra, shown on the left, or German Gerhard Müller. There's also politics at play.
We must not underestimate the influence of the Catholic Church's very large financial sources, which can come also from the United States, from Africa and elsewhere, and which want to refocus the church. They want to get even with the Pope, who wanted to decentralize his church and who wanted a church that reflected the poorest and those who suffer.
Whoever is selected, the choice of the future Pope will send a strong signal in a context of growing tension within the church.
So there was a couple listed there. The list is quite long of possibilities. Thank you all for sending me all. And by the way, the prophecy of the last Pope, that's a good one. Oh, man. It's like, if it's Peter of Rome, then this will be the last pope, and then the end times are here. A lot of that.
So that the guy, the talking about Pietro Parolin?
What, of the last pope?
Is that going to be the last guy? Because he's the Italian that's in the running.
Well, so the prophecy of the last pope...
Where did this come from? Where did the prophecy of the last pope appear?
Well, it appeared in my email a million times.
It appeared in the email.
In the email. Yeah, the prophecy. Let me see. It's the Malachi prophecy. Saint Malachi, apparently, made prophecy.
Apparently.
Yes.
We're just assuming.
Made prophecy of the end times by Roman Catholic Archbishop Malachi. You know, there's a whole theory behind it, and I'm sorry, I just don't buy any of that. Now, I will reveal my prediction today. I might as well get it in early. I have to say I'm very conflicted. The last time I predicted the Pope, I was only politically minded, and, you know, I was just looking at, okay, Jesuit makes sense.
Yeah, so you were doing it the way we pick soccer games.
Yes, exactly. So, but I'm conflicted because, well, it was this report that, at the end of the report that gave me some pause to think about it, because you would hope, me as a believer, that God would have his hand on this and that he would pick a good person. Now, I'm not a Catholic, and I have my questions about, you know, is the Pope really the guy that talked? Please don't email me. Is the guy that, you know, he talks to God.
AdamAtCurry.com. No, AdamAtCurry.com.
I'm not going to answer it. So I'm not a Catholic. I just don't think that there's any guy who's going to be bigger than anybody else. But that's if that's your thing, that's fine. People believe in John Smith and in Mormon church, whatever. It's all good. I got my own thing going. I'm not a member of a religion. But I do think there's a guy in Africa. And it was the first thing that came to mind. And I saw this report from Deutsche Welle, although he's not mentioned, interestingly enough. I think I can give you my prediction. Let's listen to this.
Pope Francis was seen by many Africans as a champion of the continent. Francis's anti-colonial stance and fierce criticism of imperialism won him many fans there. Now, with his passing, many are asking, if it is time for the first African pope. Some African contenders' names have been circulating, but it remains unclear how much of a chance they really have.
In the heart of the Kenyan capital of Nairobi, hundreds of Catholics gathered to bid a final farewell to a man who they felt spoke out for Africa. With his fierce criticism of imperialism, colonialism, and global inequality, Pope Francis became a voice for the continent. He was the first Latin American pope. Now many here feel that an African pope is not a question of if, but when. Among the African contenders for the papacy are Cardinal Peter Turkson, who was Pope Benedict's peace envoy to South Sudan. He has spoken out against criminalizing homosexuality. Another candidate is the Archbishop of Kinshasa, Fridolin Ambongo Basungu, a critic of global oil and mining companies.
No,
both
no,
have the respect
no, no.
of Pope Francis.
Can't be that
and
guy.
Many hope that if elected, they would continue his legacy. But the final choice, according to millions of Catholics, is not solely up to the cardinals.
What we believe is that the whole process of electing a pope is not simply in the hands of the cardinals who do it. We believe that it is in the hands of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit moves and acts in the church in order to provide us with the leader that we need at any point in time.
The Vatican says that over the past year, 7 million Africans have converted to Catholicism, making the continent one of the fastest growing regions for the church. Many in Africa believe Pope Francis was one of the main reasons for this.
I don't think that's true. A lot of Catholics don't like Pope Francis. But the guy not mentioned is the guy I'm going to predict, and it's been on my heart, been on my mind for ever since for the first time I looked at the list, like, this is the guy. And you, I think I even mentioned on the show, and you scoffed at me because
I probably would. Yeah, that would sound like me.
Yes. I believe it will be Cardinal Robert Sarra, or Sarah, S-A-R-A-H. He's from Guinea, which is West Africa. And he's almost 80, so not a big risk.
That's good.
Not a big risk.
That's good.
Not a big
risk. You want that.
He's outspoken. He's funny. He speaks Italian, English, French, and Guinea, Spanish. So French, English, Spanish, and Italian fluently. He is against, he called gender ideology a radicalization that threatens the family.
That's Robert Sarra?
Yes, Robert Sarra.
S-A-R-A-H.
Yes, Robert Sarra. He is going to be my prediction for Pope.
Okay. Well, I have the list of the next pope. I talked about this on the DH Unplugged show you didn't listen to.
No, I'm sorry. I will, though, because I've got to hear what Horowitz said so I can
out. This is the list that I receive as part, because I'm on mailing list that you can't believe, the oddspr.com.
I believe it. I believe you're on the mailing list. The Pope mailing list. Yes. It fires up once every 40 years. It's a great
so
list.
This is the list in order of the next pope. Mm-hmm. Odds.
Mm-hmm. Odds. Oh, I have odds. Okay.
The even bet is Louis Tagle, Filipino.
Philippines. Yes, I would say I understand why they're saying he's a possibility.
The number two pick on the list, 2-1 odds, is Pietro Parolin, the Italian guy who is the the diplomat.
Yeah, he would be the last pope. That would be the one everyone chooses.
He's the pope that I would pick if I was picking popes.
But you're not picking popes.
I'm not picking popes.
I'm the pope picker.
And he is, Horowitz even said that he'd bet on this guy. Because it's about time we went back to the Italians being the pope. But okay. Let's assume that's not going to happen. It falls off rather quickly after that. Matteo Zuppi comes in at 6-1 odds. And then a couple 6-1, 6-1, 6-1. Then we get to Mark Ouellette, 10-1. And your man, Robert Sarra, is on the list.
Oh, he's there. Oh, he's on the list. Not in the media reports, but he's on the list.
He's on the list at 10-1.
10-1. Place your bets.
So it's not a long shot by any means. I mean, it goes up to guys like Malcolm Ranif at 25-1. There's a whole bunch of 50-1 for Lauro TC and Laro with an O. Wilfred Napier's 50-1. Mauro Plasenza is 50. There's a lot of these. So he's 10-1. So he's not a complete dark horse that you picked. And it's interesting that you picked him at all.
Well, you know, I think that they want, let's get a Schwarze in there. I don't know.
I like the idea of, I like the basic thinking because he's so old.
Yes.
That we bring our token black guy in, finally bring a black guy in who's going to die any minute.
And
that is the way the church would think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Smart money. Because after that Polish guy.
No, they
are very leery.
Yeah, we don't want anyone hanging around too long.
Was around too long.
We like the conclave thing. It's a lot of fun. We get good food.
Yeah.
And just in case you were wondering, thank you, Euro News. No, it's fake news. J.D. Vance did not kill the Pope.
In the wake of Pope Francis's death, tributes have been flooding social media, including from U.S. Vice President J.D. Vance, having been one of the last people to hold an audience with Pope Francis before his death. J.D. Vance wrote on X, "I just learned of the passing of Pope Francis. I was happy to see him yesterday, although he was obviously very ill. Due to the timing of this meeting, many were the jokes turned conspiracy theories that this meeting has sparked, claiming that J.D. Vance killed Pope Francis. Others claiming, can you meet with Putin next? Amplifying these jokes was none other than J.F. Kennedy's grandson, Jack Schlossberg. He writes a similar claim on X, saying, J.D. killed the Pope, as he also posted this image on Instagram with the caption that reads, what did J.D. do? VP of Little Faith meets with Pope yesterday. Today, Pope dies. So not much debunking to do here needed on this one. These are fake claims. The Vatican reports there was no foul play. Pope Francis had been ill, admitted to a Rome hospital on February 14th for life-threatening pneumonia, although he was able to hang on to one final Easter as he delighted the crowds at the Vatican with a surprise Easter blessing on a Sunday in what is now known as his final public appearance.
I love that they spend so much time on that.
How do they do that? How do they have... Who's the editor of this operation? Not a story. This is a bogus story.
She had a big smart board, and she was showing, you know, swiping up these tweets and putting big X's on it. And it's called Verify. It's the Verify segment.
Yeah. Oh, that they got that from France 24. We had that. I used to play a couple of clips from that myself.
Yeah, the BBC has a whole show that does it now. It's like misinformation, debunking everything. By the way, right on cue, amazing. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, the season of reveal.
She stayed silent for over 30 years. Now, Hélène Perlon, daughter of French Prime Minister François Bayrou, is speaking out. In an interview with Perry Match magazine, she reveals she was a victim of physical violence by a priest at a Catholic school summer camp.
One evening, while we were unpacking our sleeping bags, he suddenly grabbed me by the hair. He dragged me along the ground for several meters and punched and kicked me all over my body, especially in the stomach.
Perlon was 14 years old at the time. She claims she said nothing to her father to protect him from political repercussions. This former student was in the same class as François Bayrou's son, the victim's brother. He encouraged her to speak out to no avail.
I think that because children's voices weren't listened to at the time, she wasn't able to express herself at home. She may have wanted to protect her father too, but perhaps François Bayrou wasn't very present at home due to his political duties. And as a child, she wanted to protect her father.
On May 14th, François Bayrou is set to testify before a parliamentary commission investigating abuse in the Catholic congregation that ran the summer camp. Bayrou says he had no knowledge of the physical and sexual assaults reported by 200 former students of the congregation's Notre Dame de Betterame school.
Talk about burying the lead. 200. 200.
It was burying the lead.
My
That's
gosh.
Really with the very end.
My God. You know, Pope Sarah, he'll take care of all that nonsense. He'll clean all that out. What's he got to lose? He's from a different continent. He's got millions of Africans behind him. It'll lift up all of Africa. Yeah. Another, not a death, but resignation, of course, we need to just discuss is Klaus Schwab stepping down as...
Oh, yes. This, I don't have any clips on this, but yes, this I thought was fundamental.
Well, I don't have clips, but apparently there's a report that Schwab stepped down after the World Economic Forum's Board of Trustees called for his resignation internally because of all kinds of corruption. Corruption.
You take one look at that guy, you don't think of corruption.
Financial and ethical misconduct. So there's a letter apparently floating out there that Schwab used the organization's funds for personal expenses, instructed junior staff to withdraw cash for private use, including massages during official trips. I need a massage. Get one of those.
It's not like he's buying, you know, fleets of Rolls Royces.
Also alleged that Hilde, his wife, used WEF money for luxury hotel stays during personal trips. Well, that's what you do. I had a company credit card. I used to take you out to expensive lunches all the time.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Yeah.
You had a company credit card.
Yeah, that's what you do.
And it, which had on it, no sweat off my balls, written right on there. I don't know how you managed that.
I don't recall that, but I'll take it as gospel from you any day. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's what you do. But he's gone. Ding dong, the witch is dead. I think that breaks the whole organization. Without Schwab, it's not fun to make fun. Unless they get a real good guy, you know, bad, another, like, evil person to step in, but I haven't seen anyone who even comes close to what Schwab was.
David Hogg.
Now that would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, no, we can only hope for that. All right, you got anything else before we take a break here?
Some pre-break stuff.
Pre-breaks. It can be anything. It's all the floor is yours. I yield the remainder of my time to the distinguished gentleman from Berkeley.
Well, there's a couple of things. This is just a short clip, but it's worth playing. This is the EU doing its thing and gouging Apple and Meta just for no good reason.
The European Commission fined Apple $570 million and Meta nearly $230 million. It comes after a ruling that both companies had restricted customer choices and violated the European Union's Digital Markets Act. Member of European Parliament Andreas Schwab said European law is becoming very costly for companies that don't obey it.
The message is very clear. Competition matters. Open societies need open markets. That's an important message for Europe, but also for the US. And we hope to endeavor with these decisions to get more services for our citizens.
The Digital Markets Act, or DMA, seeks to ensure that large gatekeeper platforms operate in a fair way and allow room for competitors. The European Commission found Apple imposed restrictions on developers, which meant they could not take full benefit of distribution channels other than Apple's App Store.
Yes.
As for Meta, the EU's fines relate to the company's consent or pay advertising model. EU users of Instagram and Facebook had to choose between consent for Meta to use their private data for advertising or pay a monthly subscription for an ad-free service. Under the DMA, gatekeeper platforms must provide a less personalized but equivalent alternative to users who do not consent to the usage of their personal data. A Meta spokesperson told the Epoch Times that the European Commission is attempting to handicap successful American businesses while allowing Chinese and European companies to operate under different standards. In a statement to Reuters, Apple said it would challenge the EU fine and called it another example of being unfairly targeted in decisions that are bad for the privacy and security of users. The fines come amid trade tensions between the United States and the EU, notably the tariffs.
Shut them off. Just shut them off.
Don't
let them use our stuff.
Although, I do have two clips that I think would be more appropriate.
Can I just stay on big tech for a second, or are they also big tech?
No, stay on big tech.
A very concerning executive order was signed yesterday I don't like this one at all.
President Trump signed 7 executive orders on education. One order targets the federal government's process for deciding what colleges and universities can access billions of dollars in federal student loans and Pell Grants, which go to poorer students. It also directs the U.S. Attorney General and Secretary of Education to investigate unlawful discrimination by higher education institutions. The president also signed an executive order aimed at bringing artificial intelligence into K through 12 schools.
There you go. What is it you don't like? You don't like the AI part?
No, it's horrible. Like, what is, so it, all these guys, all the guys who were in there, they finally got what they wanted. Now, of course, it's a task force, so it's not done yet, but they have 90 days to come up with plans for the Presidential Artificial Intelligence Challenge. The challenge shall encourage and highlight student and educator achievements in AI, promote wide geographic adoption of technological advancement, and foster collaboration between government, academia, philanthropy, and industry to address national challenges with AI solutions.
I didn't pay attention to that when it the whole thing, to be honest
the
about
whole,
it. It's, and it's nice to know that you're on it.
It makes
it's part of your your one man
fight against AI. Yes,
your Don Quixote approach
tilting
to
at
AI
windmills. Within 120 days, this is long. I'm just highlighting some things. Within 120 days of the day this order, the director of the NSF shall take steps to prioritize research on the use of AI in education. Oh yes, they're going to use it in the schools. Utilize existing programs to create teacher training opportunities that help educators effectively integrate AI-based tools and modalities in classrooms. Go homeschool.
When I was a kid, they wouldn't let us have a calculator in the school.
And it's all going to be public-private partnerships. It's a bonanza. I see this really as a bailout of this nonsense.
It hasn't even jumped a shark yet.
I don't like it. It's troubling to me. It's troubling.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. I knew that would be the case. Mm-hmm. 2 quickies and then we can go.
All right.
Now, this is Scott Bessent. He came and went and gave a lecture to the IMF.
This is our Treasury Secretary. Treasury Secretary.
He's the guy. He's the money guy. I have 2 versions of the same presentation. This one's NPR and one's NTD. And I want to play them back to back. But Bessent lectured the IMF about how screwed up they are. And I thought that NTD was so much better than NPR. And
now
I
you have you, just help me. You have 2 Bessent.
Those are dupes.
Oh, okay. They're dupes. All right, good. Okay.
The NPR clip is the one that we'll start with.
All right, here we go.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent says the U.S. wants to remain a leader in the global economy, even as President Trump's tariffs cast a cloud over worldwide trade. NPR's Scott Horsley reports Bessent spoke this morning on the sidelines of a global economic summit.
Bessent addressed a gathering of the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, 2 institutions set up in the wake of World War II to foster peace and global prosperity. Bessent accused the IMF and World Bank of straying from their core missions to tackle problems such as climate change. He urged the World Bank to finance more nuclear and fossil fuel projects in developing countries.
Energy abundance sparks economic abundance. That's why the bank should encourage an all-of-the-above approach to energy development.
The IMF has downgraded its forecast of global economic growth this year, largely as a result of President Trump's trade war.
Oh, this is what the president said. IMF, stay out of politics. Right.
So that was kind of
bland and slanted.
It was bland and boring. And it was like, and they had a little slam against Trump. And it was the whole thing was just this typical NPR crap. I thought that this one was more meaningful and it's about the same length, a little bit more longer. It was, I think it was more meaningful and more in-depth, and I thought it hit this mark, and this is from NTD.
China in particular is in need of a rebalancing. Recent data shows the Chinese economy tilting even further away from consumption toward manufacturing. China's economic system, with growth driven by manufacturing exports, will continue to create even more serious imbalances with its trading partners if the status quo is allowed to continue. China's current economic model is built on exporting its way out of its economic troubles. It's an unsustainable model that is not only harming China, but the entire world.
Besant added, quote, treating China, the second largest country in the world, as a developing country is absurd. In addition to pushing for more pressure on China, Besant urged the IMF to reprioritize the world economy. The Treasury Secretary denounced the World Financial Organization for devoting, quote, disproportionate time and resources to work on climate change, gender, and social issues. Besant added, quote, mission creep has knocked these institutions off course.
I didn't know that IMF was working on gender issues. This is out of control, this gender thing.
They're trying, but they're not getting anything. And they're not going to be able to move this forward. That's just not happening. I keep reading about the Mar-a-Lago Accords everywhere, though. It's like, oh, we're in this. It's time now. It's time. We need a new, what was it called? The original one in 47?
We need
a new Bretton Woods.
Bretton Woods.
Yeah, it's time for the Mar-a-Lago Accords. I keep reading it everywhere. And I think we were the first ones to use the term.
I don't read it anywhere.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah, let me see. Here, well, it's investing.com, whatever that is. What the proposed Mar-a-Lago Accord could mean for investors. While not officially endorsed, the framework outlines measures designed to preserve the U.S. dollar's global dominance while intentionally weakening its value, which is what we need. UBS strategists note that these measures aim to lower threat. So the idea is to create new bonds, a 100-year bond. It's like the trillion-dollar coin, only upside down. And so everybody gets a new bond for your old bond. You get a 100-year bond. And I guess it has a lower yield, I guess. I don't know how any of this works. I don't understand any of this stuff.
That's good.
Did you guys talk about it at all?
Not the 100-year bond, no. We talk about, actually, the trillion-dollar coin doesn't come up either.
Well, no, that's the stable coin. That's on deck. I think that's going to be part of the Mar-a-Lago Accord. To finalize, though, I got a great list of 23 subtle but alarming recession indicators. Now, we have a recession. We have one recession indicator, which is the Dvorak Law. Maybe you'd like to reiterate it.
The one about hookers?
Yeah, that one. That's the one.
That when in a recession, the hookers are get better looking and are cheaper.
Wasn't there another one? Didn't we have a... The hairdressers. We had the hairdresser one.
That's yours.
Yes. We had the hairdresser one, which is women no longer get expensive hairdos, and they start dyeing their hair at home. But here are 23 more, which I think is worth mentioning. $5 blackjack tables at the Aria instead of the typical 25. Plumbers.
There's dollar blackjack tables everywhere.
Well, this is the Aria.
The Aria. Okay. The Aria is a very special casino in Vegas.
Plumbers showing up on time. I like that.
I've never had an issue with plumbers showing up on time.
Well, Berkeley is never going to be in a recession. Italian sandwich shops in prime locations struggling. Companies moving overseas. I don't think that's right. Real estate ghost towns. Have we seen that yet? I don't think so. I like number 7. A lack of Botox.
A lack of... Okay, keep reading. I don't know. These are terrible, by the way.
Empty strip clubs. Fixer cars on Facebook. Here's one I think is true. A used guitar surplus. Everyone's selling,
That's a good one.
Selling their axe. Like, I got to get rid of my guitar, man. home-cooked lunches, owner-sold cars. You know, when you drive in a neighborhood and you got a, they got the car out there and it says...
That's what Craigslist is for. Well, this has been going on for years, owner.
Availability at the vet office? No. Short fast food lines? I'm not seeing that here.
I haven't seen that anywhere. No,
they opened up a Chick-fil-A in Fredericksburg. Holy
moly.
Oh,
did they now?
Well, it's outside the
Have you had the chicken center. Sandwich? I'd like to get a review of it.
I really don't like Chick-fil-A. I've had it maybe once, maybe twice. I'm not a fan. It's just chicken mush in a sandwich.
Is that right? I thought it was a pretty good quality product. I'd never had one, so I don't know.
Well, it's right near the church. But unfortunately, they're not open on Sunday. Card collections on sale. Plenty of
what?
Card collections, you know, like baseball cards, people trying to sell stuff, sell their baseball cards.
Yeah.
No. Parking, plenty of parking. Declined payments. I've seen this a lot at the grocery store. Declined payments. Stand behind somebody like, they got open.
Oh, yeah, premiums declined. Well, that happened.
That's it. So none of them are any good? Yeah, I guess not.
I don't think that was a very good list. I think we should come up with our own.
Well, we have two. That's a start.
We do have two. Mine's no good anymore since the OnlyFans come around. There are no more hookers.
That's the exit strategy, by the way. Holy moly. Some girl just retired from OnlyFans. $67 million in 3 years' time. She's like, nah, I'm good. I'm done.
$20 million a year?
Yeah. Oh, I believe it.
Well, she must be really
no. And she she never even really took her clothes off. Apparently, she just did poses.
Sweet talker. She knows what she's doing.
And with that, I'd like to thank you for your courage. Say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in John C. Dvorak's economic woes indicators. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. John C. Dvorak.
Yeah, in the morning you, Mr. Adam Curry, in the morning, Chip C. Boost and Rafi in the air. Shots in the water and all the games and nights out there.
In the morning, yeah, trolls, let me say it. Count for a second, okay? 1,914 listening live right now. Yeah, we're kind of on a, we're moving sideways with this chart, people.
Sideways
movement.
Well, that's okay.
But we love the trolls, especially the ones who hang out in the troll room and comment, give all kinds of interesting idea. Whenever a Jewish name comes up, you see people with emojis going, yes, there are a bunch of anti-Semites there. It's great. So
there's anti-Semites in the troll room?
Gambling? Yeah, whenever it's a Jewish name, like, okay, I know.
I don't know what it is. What is up?
I don't know what's up either. Yeah, you can join them. Practice your Hitler salute. Jump on in, trollroom.io. Everybody loves hanging out and have fun there. I have not kicked somebody off in a long time. I need to
start. Yeah, you're overdue.
Yeah, yeah. I don't get mad anymore. I just given up on being offended. It's like, it's not worth it. I feel much better. And by the way, I will remind you, there's plenty of shows still to come after this donation segment. We have, we definitely have to discuss Hegseth. I got some funny clips there. And maybe we should do some tariff stuff just to keep everybody up to speed. And, of course, the tip of the day, now so popular that Bill O'Reilly is ripping us off.
We get ripped off constantly. I think people, they think it's some sort of a secret that this show exists, and they have their producer listening. I got an idea. We can steal it from those guys and no agenda.
I think
you're right. The thing is, we have a pretty big audience that knows what's going on.
Yeah, and they pay attention. And for some reason, they listen to Bill O'Reilly. And they go, hey, wait a minute, Bill. What you doing? But, of course, that's only for, what was the term he had? His concierge members.
Yeah, concierge. That's a good one.
We don't have concierge members. We don't have a bundle. Club. We don't have No Agenda Plus for anything else. No, we just give it to you.
Club No Agenda.
Club No Agenda, good one. We feel it's important that you get this information no matter what your financial status.
And, I feel the same way, by the way. Although I don't produce as much as I should on Substack, I've decided that it will have a value for value approach toward it. I'm going to always have free content. I'm never going to close it off for the, you have to be a subscriber. And today I just unsubscribed to Seymour Hersh's Substack.
Oh, interesting. I'm still subscribed and I still pay.
I don't pay. I refuse to pay.
Because?
I'm cheap compared to you.
I just want to support the old man doing some work.
He's got plenty of support, but it's beside the point. I would support him if I could read some of these columns, but he just writes teasers, and then you have to subscribe to read the rest of it. And I'm not a fan of this idea of writing a teaser and then trying to make you subscribe because of, there's maybe something here if you keep reading further.
I didn't realize
that. So I just gave up.
Yeah, no, I'm against that too. I mean, I support him because I just want to support his work. But I didn't realize that he was doing teasers and it was all in the bundle and for concierge. So I'm a concierge member, apparently, of
Senior Hersh. I'm against that.
Yeah, it's not value for value. That's just, you're being a tease. You're a tease. It's no good.
You might as well be an OnlyFans. Never taking your clothes off.
Yeah, there's a visual I don't need of Seymour Hersh, but thanks. I feel much better.
Well, he's not taking his clothes off.
Hey, by the way, you want to use one of those modern podcast apps if you're listening to the show for a number of reasons. First of all, you get the live stream in the modern podcast apps. You get the bat signal when we go live, and not just for our show. Almost any show on the No Agenda stream now utilizes this system. So you want that. You want it for the transcripts. You want it for the chapters. You want it for the chapter art. And let's talk about that for a second. Because it's what we do every single show. We have hundreds of artists who are listening to the show live and they're creating fun art that I helped somebody audit their feed and their podcast yesterday. It was one of the first people ever said, "Hey, we have a pretty big successful show. Would you mind hopping on a Zoom call with the team and walking us through what you think about, our feed, how we publish, are there any best practices?" And I said, no one has ever asked me to do that.
This is unbelievable what you just said.
No one has.
I have been harping on this for, not that I'm your agent.
Well,
I'd done a crappy job if I was.
If you were, I would have made money on the deal, but no, okay, yeah, I didn't.
But the point is that this is ridiculous that you have not been consulted on, which, it's a pet peeve of mine, not consulting the experts. I remember when Halsey started CNET, and you auditioned there.
I got hired there, but I didn't take the deal stupidly.
It ended up with
nothing.
A local guy. But anyway, the point is he would always find definitive people. He would just do a little research, didn't take much, and he'd just ask them if they wanted to get in. I mean, he did the thing with his website. He found some guy that was one of the early website developers, and it's always you go to the definitive guy, the guy who invented it. If you can find the guy who invented the whole process, hey, get a hold of him. See if he'll talk to you. This never happens, except there's a few guys who understand it. And I'm stunned that anyone got a clue.
You will even be more stunned by who it was.
Who was it?
Chip Ingram.
Who?
You don't know Chip Ingram.
No.
Chip Ingram is a pastor. He is on well over 1,000 radio stations, has millions of people listening to his podcast. It's called Living on the Edge. And he has his board of directors, the chairman of the board, and they had the technology people. I was like, wow, how smart are you guys? And that must be a $3, $4 million a year operation.
Or more,
yeah. I was stunned. I was stunned by the invitation. Like, yeah, I'll do that. Absolutely.
Huh.
That's how pros operate, man. Pros. Where's Bill O'Reilly? No, no, no. No, instead so he just steal stuff from us. Yeah, exactly.
And usually miss the point.
Big time.
Stealing, but it only goes to the concierge service. Oh, please.
So back to the artist. We always thank the artist who brought us the artwork for the previous episode. In episode 1757, which we titled Word Veto, A lot of people like this art. It was a combo piece. It was by Fluff Comet. Of course, 420 was Easter. We always work on holidays if they fall on show day, or most of that. I think we haven't missed one once. It was also 420, well known under the herb lovers of the group. So it was a bunny munching on a marijuana leaf. The only thing we missed was Hitler in there for Hitler's birthday. Otherwise, it was a perfect piece. I think we even mentioned that.
It was
that.
A perfect piece. And a bunny munching on the pot plant was amusing.
It was just cute. It was cute. And there were many people who tried eggs. We really don't like bunnies and eggs. I'll be honest about it. We're like, bunnies and eggs, bunnies and eggs, lots of bunnies and eggs.
Yeah, it was a bit too much.
In hindsight, I thought Geraldo rolling the stone away was kind of funny.
Although I'm always you're sacrilegious.
Yes. Yeah. You're very sensitive. And I
am. I'm very sensitive to it.
Yeah. It's appreciated. Let's see. What else was there? There was a chocolate Easter bunny and a chocolate Jesus, and Jesus melting
the
bunny.
The worst one.
Melting the bunny with a hairdryer.
I thought it was a great piece, but it was like, I don't quite get it. But the bunny is melting.
It was wrong in so many ways.
It was just, it was a screwy piece.
Scaramanga, one
of the more creative guys out there.
Oh, yeah, that was Scaramanga. He keeps doing these great AI videos of us for the podcast awards. Do you even see them? He's always tagging
you.
I have
not seen one of them.
Oh, man, he always tags you. He must be shadow banned somehow.
Maybe.
He's always tagging Brunetti. Come on, Brunetti, let's make the movie. Let's do it. He's like, Scaramanga, Brunetti's never going to make a movie with you. And let me just tell you straight up, not going to do it.
He's not going to make a movie with anyone the way he's going.
No, he won't listen to advice. He won't. He's missing out.
He gives out the advice. He did give the idea for tip of the day.
Yeah. Well, and there you go. He makes no money and he's getting ripped off. Yeah, there it goes.
Yes, but it was voluntarily.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
He gets a credit.
We didn't get
a credit for O'Reilly's tip of the day.
Nope. It should have said created by John T. Dvorak. No, created by Danny Brunetti. That's who should get the credit. If he just said it once, that would be okay. But he won't. So lots of AI stuff. Surprise, surprise. Lots of AI stuff. Then all that's coming in is AI stuff. AI stuff. Tons of AI stuff. It's not working, people. But you should be... this is really going to teach kids in school. Great. We'll have a country of people who can do chocolate bunnies and Jesus being melted with a hairdryer. What a future. What a future. So we do, of course, want to thank Fluff Comet. And Fluff, I think Fluff Comet's a new artist as well. No, wait a minute. Fluff Comet's done a lot. A lot of graffiti stuff. These are all top-notch artists. Whether they're using AI or not, I'm always impressed, and we appreciate it. Moreover, you can contribute. You can be a part of it. NoAgendaArtGenerator.com, or you can be listening live and refreshing on the fly to see stuff as it pops in. And again, on those modern podcast apps, just watch along as the art changes. Dreb Scott does that expertly for us every single show, and it's highly appreciated. Now on to the treasure part of our time, talent, and treasure, the three T's of value for value, which is the only way it works. We'd like to close the loop by reading notes for people. We thank everybody $50 and above. If you donate $200 for a show, you become an associate executive producer. This is an absolutely real credit. You can use it anywhere credits are accepted. I got a note from one of our producers. He was a little mad. He's like, Curry, I don't understand it. I became an associate executive producer. I'm still not on IMDb.com.
That's a good one.
We don't do it for you. You know, you got to do your own account. And he's like, oh. And then he emails me back. Ha! I'm on it. I'm good to go. He's really happy. But no, it's not automatic. We don't have access.
Like their dog in the show. Let's see what we got today, Bill. Oh, these guys. Let me write it down and put it in there for them.
It's like we have access to the API. You know, just hit a button and you're in there. No. So not only do you get that credit, which you can put yourself on IMDb.com because they recognize it as a true show business credit. We'll read your note. Same goes for $300 or above. Only then you get the coveted title of executive producer for this episode, and we will read your note. We kick it off with Carrie Cates, who's in Gainesville, Brownsville, Texas, $500, and says, ITM, gentlemen, you are the best. Keep up the amazing work. He wants a de-douching.
You've been de-douched.
And along with that, a double up karma. We are happy to oblige.
You've got double up karma.
Well, Carrie's note was short and sweet, but I think Mike tops her from Fairmont, West Virginia. Also $500. No jingles, no karma. Thanks, John and Adam. Mike in Fairmont, West Virginia.
A beautiful one. Jared Hardegree. Hardegree, yes. Edmond, Oklahoma comes close with $350.93. No jingles, gents. Just keep up the good fight. From Jared in Edmond, Oklahoma. Thank you, Jared.
And now they start to get longer. Starting with Mark Kuchansky in Aurora, Colorado, $348.90. This donation of $348.90 should complete my knighthood. I'd like to be known as Sir Red Devil, and I'd like Sapporo and sushi at the round table. Can I get a Trump's jobs karma for my son, Ryan, and the following jingles? She looks like she stinks.
Now, do we have that one?
Yeah, you clipped it. You clipped it out.
Was it? No, but it wasn't stinks. It was.
Yeah, she looks like she stinks. No. Is exactly what it was.
No, it was because I can't find it now. That's why I'm confused. No, it was something else.
Well, you may have titled it something else, but that's what I said. She looks like she stinks. Followed by due to climate change, which is a sensible combination. Thanks for everything you do. Here's to 4 more years.
Well, can you say she looks like she stinks? Because I can't.
I will.
Okay, all right.
She looks like she stinks.
Due to climate change.
Jobs, there we go. Jobs, jobs.
You've got karma.
I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to it. I must have mislabeled it. We move on to Joe Dunn, Park City, Utah. Ah, a favorite donation number, 333.33. ITM, Adam and John, please de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
Not too long ago, Adam mentioned that he may never go on a ski vacation again. Yeah, I'm not going to ski because I'm going to break something. Here in Park City, that kind of thinking is just weird. Skiing is a lifelong sport that brings families together while building skills and having fun. If you're a skier and want to improve your skills, check out my YouTube channel, Ski Dad TV. As an NCAA All-American ski racer and now fully certified ski instructor, I'll show you how to shred and show the joys of being a ski dad. I think I saw him with his little kid. That's truly coincidental. I think I came across that video. Do you want to touch your hip to the snow while carving? No. Then check out Ski Dad TV, where you can get the best ski teaching content on YouTube. Ski Dad TV, R2D2 virality karma, please. Says Joe Dunn. All right, Joe Dunn. Good job, Joe, brother. Dunn.
You've got karma.
I love it. Good one.
Baron Steve Banstra in Nashville, Tennessee, 333.
He gets upgraded today. Yes, nice.
ITM, gents, this donation not only elevates me to Viscount, but also puts me ahead of Dana Brunetti on the NA producer list, according to IMDb and the Mueller Report. Steve Banstra, Baron, now Viscount of BNA, boogity, of BNA, whatever BNA is.
Yes.
A boogity boogity jingle, please.
Sir Haggis is in Sarasota, Florida, also 333.33, so he gets an executive producer credit. ITM gentlemen, hope all is well. This donation is to celebrate two birthdays. Firstly, my brother, whose birthday was on 4/20, Sir Rama Noodles, had his 44th jaunt around the sun. I want to wish him a very happy birthday. I love you, mate. Secondly, and more self-importantly, I am celebrating my 50th journey around said sun, so please put Sir Rama Noodles and Sir Haggis on the birthday list. You are there. I would also like to give a quick shout-out to my two boys, who are my greatest accomplishment in life. So to my Hamish and Ronan, you are my entire world, and I love you so much. I couldn't be more proud as a dad to watch you become young men. I tried to come up with some witty jingle combo, but I'll just settle on some karma for everyone out there. In the immortal words of Bill Hicks, remember, it's just a ride. Hugs and kisses, Sir Haggis. All right, Sir Haggis, thank you.
You've got karma.
Now we have, we go to the associate executive producers with our first donation in that category from a downer named Jack DeAngelis in Emmett, Idaho, $250. And he says, we need a Great Depression. This nation needs to be humbled to be healed.
That's not true. No, God will hear our prayers and heal our land. That's how you need to think, brother. Duke, Sir Dr. Sharkey, there he is, Jackson, Tennessee.
Hey, I haven't heard from him forever.
He's back, 234.56. John Adam, you continue to be the source of sanity in this increasingly insane world. Karma of protection as I travel to the grand resources. The grand resources? What's the grand resources?
I have no idea.
Okay, Duke,
Sir Dr. To see the grand resources.
Oh, to see the grand resources. What are the grand resources, I wonder? Anyway, he signs off. Duke, Sir Dr. Sharkey, Lord of Mars.
He's going to Mars.
You've got karma.
Ronan, Colorado, in Colorado Springs, 222.22 is a row of ducks. Happy birthday to John, same age as me. Go Boomers! Number one rule for Boomers is don't fall down. Hello to the nice people of the Antelope Ridge Meadery that apparently provided his libation for the day, that provided the space for our meetup. Love you both. Mean it.
And coming in with 204.24, it's Eli the Coffee Guy who says, life imitates art as the movie Conclave is now at the top of the charts. That's right. Plus, according to the internet theorists, we only get one more pope before the end is nigh. See, he's heard about it. Brings to mind the peace dove attacked by a crow at the coronation of Pope Francis. I forgot about that. Do you remember that? The dove was flying and the crow just nabbed it. Well,
that makes nothing but sense. I don't remember it, yeah, but it, yeah. Now it should, you know, it was, yeah. There's a lot of, okay.
There's a lot of symbolism going on. Still the world is filled with small miracles. RFK bans chemical food dyes as Klaus Schwab's resignation from the WEF. What an exciting time to be alive. And that calls for exciting coffee. Visit GigawattCoffeeRoasters.com and use code ITM20 for 20% off your order. Stay caffeinated, says Eli the Coffee Guy.
Sweaty. Sweaty, S-C-H-W-E-D-D-Y, in McKinney, Texas. McKinney, M-C-K-I-N-N-E-Y. Hey, John and Adam, is the time of the year again for the annual tax return donation.
Yes.
The annual tax return donation. I'll repeat that.
Yes.
This plus layaway plan should give me a spot at the coveted round table, giving back and thanking you for what you do. Title request, sure, sir, sure. Sir Sweaty. Request Bell Haven Scottish Ale on tap.
Of course.
Of course. Jingles, no sweat off my balls, and goat karma. It's no sweat off my balls.
You've got karma.
You nailed it. It was identical. Identical. Yeah. And almost at the end here with $200, as she always does, just like Eli the Coffee Guy coming in with $200, she says, jobs karma, please. And for a competitive edge that, with a resume that gets results, go to imagemakersinc.com. That's imagemakersinc with a K for all of your executive resume and job search needs. And work with Linda Lou, Duchess of Jobs and writer of resumes.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You've got.
David Selden in Arlington, Texas. That's Arlington. $200. ITM Gitmo slaves. I think I'm a knight, but we'll have to look that up some other time. Been over 7 years. Please de-douche.
You've been de-douched.
Over 7 years. I doubt if you've made it yet with $200. But Adam Curry has said words matter. At Pocket Versus, we agree. In fact, words are way more powerful than we can understand. God's words are the most powerful, so we've created a small shareable cards with Bible verses to encourage you and others. Send a copy to Adam. Check out pocketverses.org, a completely free service. It's free. Good news fits in your pocket. Carry God's word with you and pass it on with joy. Get yours free. Free. It's free.
It's free.
At pocketverses.org. Visit pocketverses.org. Okay.
I think the message is clear. Did someone tell them that if you say it three times, people remember it? Is that what's going on here?
It could be.
Yeah. And finally, our last associate executive producer is Trevor Malkinson. He's in Courtenay. That's in British Columbia, Canada. And he says, "Dear John and Adam, my wife and I have been saying for a while that it was time to donate to the show again. And then I bought a beer the other day, and my bill was $33.33.
That's gypped.
That's one beer in Canada. Man,
yeah.
Man, that Canada, the Canadian dollar is devalued. Anyway, I knew it was time. I'm in Canada, and Trump has many sheeple here very activated. It's both hilarious and pathetic. Anyway, thanks for everything you do on the show. Can you call out Chuck as a douchebag?
Douchebag.
And for jingles, can I please get Big Beautiful Dumps and the howling dog that sounds like Pink Floyd? Cheers, says Trevor on Vancouver Island.
They did dumps. They call them dumps. Big, massive dumps.
You've got... Karma.
And that concludes our executive and associate executive producers for episode 1758 already. Oh, man. It's really moving along. 17 years, 1,700 shows. We are just killing it, I tell you. We will be thanking the rest of the people who donated to the show today in $50 or more in our second segment. And we'd like to remind everybody, if you go to noagendadonations.com, there are many opportunities for you to become a knight, a dame. Everything is on the website, including how you become a layaway knight. You can do this over many years, and eventually you do get to that level. Many people do. We have a couple of knights coming up in a moment. And you can also hit us up with a sustaining donation, which means any amount, any frequency you choose, you make it up. noagendadonations.com. Thank you again. Ouch. Thank you again for supporting the best podcast in the universe, episode 1758.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Order. It's no sweat off my balls.
Shut up.
Hegseth. I got a couple of Hegseth clips.
Can we do a little interregnum first? Something I want to do.
An interregnum. What exactly is an interregnum?
It's just a break.
Okay.
I ran into this clip while I was going through the archives.
Uh-huh. Our archives? Show archives?
Yeah, our archives.
Mm-hmm.
The disc of clips.
The disc.
And I just ran it because I was looking for something else, and I ran into this. I didn't realize. I forgot all about this. This was from probably 2017.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't even remember it. But this is the kind of nuttiness that during the first Trump administration, this is the kind of screwball story. That this was amongst the thing where, he watched guerrilla TV all the bogus nonsense that the media fed us about Trump.
Yeah.
The guerrilla TV was my all-time favorite.
Yeah.
But this is one that I forgot. I don't even remember, to be honest about it. It was so stupid. This clip is the classic
mm-hmm.
Scream at the Sky.
Oh, is it that time again? Here we go.
Tonight, thousands of people in cities across the country will scream helplessly at the sky 1 year after the election of President Donald Trump. The events are being planned on Facebook in Dallas, Boston, New York, Miami, Philly, Austin, and Washington State. In the details section, it reads, quote, "Rage, rage against the dying of the light. Mark the one-year anniversary of the so-called election of the so-called president by joining the national primal scream, howl the sky, gnash your teeth, bang your drums," and it goes on from there. The Dallas event starts at 6 tonight on the Continental Avenue Pedestrian Bridge, but as the Facebook page itself warns, it will be 48 degrees and rainy outside. Matt Uris for CBS 11 News.
I remember this. I remember it. And I'm thinking we might actually have some clips of the screaming, don't we?
I actually had the clip of the scream. You look it up. I didn't put it on here because it was pretty lame.
Mm.
But just people screaming. It's just wasn't anything more than the scream he just played. But it's unbelievable how stupid this TDS, Trump derangement syndrome, was and is.
Well, we have the science to back it up from JAMA. Social networks spread contagion. Mental illness. It makes nothing but sense to me.
Well, it's sick.
No, it's sad. It's sad that people get so worked up. And again, it's still COVID trauma. None of this has gone away.
This was pre-COVID.
No, but Trump derangement syndrome now is you can trigger anything with anybody now.
This was pre-COVID. I want to remind you that this is screaming at the sky was pre-COVID. Trump watching Gorilla TV was pre-COVID. Yes,
you're right. I'm just saying that still is. Okay, never mind. You get my point.
No, I understand what you're saying. COVID has created another level.
Well, you can bring anything back.
It was pretty bad.
I want the screaming to come back. How do we do that?
We just reinitiate this. This is a reminder. Maybe somebody out there will get this thing going again. We can start screaming. But it has to be a year anniversary, so it would be next January, I guess, they'd do it.
Well, they can do a scream-in.
A scream-in?
Yeah. I think we should promote that.
Scream-in.
A scream-in. We should probably put that in the concierge level.
Yes.
So
the bundle, the plus bundle.
So, as you astutely put in the newsletter, Signalgate continues. Completely stupid. The whole thing is just what? And so I went to the source to find out, you know, what exactly is this about? Can we get some details? And NPR had the most serious reporting. And boy, you know, NPR, they can make a story out of nothing when they have nothing. They got nothing, but they made a story out of it anyway. It's amazing.
We're waiting to see how, if at all, President Trump addresses the leadership at the Defense Department. In a moment, Democratic Senator Jack Reed calls for a wider investigation of Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth. First, we report on what the White House is doing.
One U.S. official tells NPR that the search is underway to replace Defense Secretary.
So they've got sources. There's a search underway. Deep Throat in the White House says so.
Pete Hegseth publicly, the president is standing behind him after a tumultuous week. Hegseth's office fired some of his aides. Then came revelations that the secretary shared details of impending airstrikes in Yemen again. NPR confirmed the second chat on the messaging app Signal, which included Hegseth's wife, his brother, and his personal lawyer. The first chat was with top officials and a journalist who was inadvertently included.
NPR's Quill Lawrence is here to tell us more. Quill, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So we'll note that you're reporting this story with our colleague, Tom.
I like what you do with that stuff. So now you've got me doing it. It's unavoidable.
A journalist who was inadvertently included.
NPR's Quill Lawrence is here to tell us more. Quill, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
So we'll note that you're reporting this story with our colleague, Tom Bowman. What are you guys hearing?
Yeah, a U.S. official told us that the search has begun after this second,
as sources say, an official unnamed
round of headlines about Hegseth. I should add that the White House has said our anonymous source doesn't know what they're talking about, but at a Rose Garden event yesterday,
that was poorly phrased. The anonymous source said they didn't know what they were talking about.
No, The White House says our.
No, I know, but it's the way it was put together. Structure. It was like the measles, thing
spreading. They did earlier. Yeah, disinformation is spreading. Yes, I got you.
Search has begun after this second round of headlines about Hegseth. I should add that the White House has said our anonymous source doesn't know what they're talking about. But at a Rose Garden event yesterday, the president stood firmly by Hegseth, at least publicly.
No, he's doing a great job. It's just fake news. It just bring up stories. I guess it sounds like disgruntled employees. You know, he was put there to get rid of a lot of bad people, and that's what he's doing.
Disgruntled employee. You know, so besides bringing back the scream circle, that's a good term for it, actually. Not the scream in, but a scream circle. I think we should bring that back.
I like scream circle.
Disgruntled.
That's a good show title, too.
I like it, yeah. Who came up with that? Net. Besides that, disgruntled employee. You know what disgruntled employees used to do? They used to go postal.
They used to go postal. What happened to those guys?
What happened to those days?
Quill, that phrase, disgruntled employees. I think Hegseth used a similar phrase in his public remarks about this and referred to people who were fired in his office. What's he talking about?
Yeah, there were four senior advisors to Hegseth who left in just the past week. Former Defense Department spokesman John Elliott resigned last week and then published a quite extraordinary opinion piece calling the past month at the Pentagon a, quote, full-blown meltdown, and saying that this infighting is hurting President Trump. He served in Trump's first administration and appears to want to continue to serve. Three other Pentagon advisors, Colin Carroll, Dan Caldwell, and Darren Selnick, were escorted out of the Pentagon and accused of leaking information to the press. They then put out, as a trio, the three of them put out a joint statement on X saying that their dismissal was unconscionable and that they haven't even been told what they stand accused of leaking. They, all three of them, served in uniform. They say they understand the importance of information security. Caldwell and Selnick, notably, are longtime associates of Hegseth. They've worked with him over a decade back to when he was at Concerned Veterans for America, a policy group.
So, disgruntled employees, their version of going postal is, we're going to write an op-ed in the New York Times. I'm going to say it's no good. This is the military-industrial complex trying to worm Hegseth out. And he's the final one. NPR, they really have nothing. They have nothing.
So, I'm trying to figure out what all of this adds up to. The White House does appear to be backing Hegseth, but he's been revealed. NPR has confirmed the original New York Times report that there was a second chat group on Signal where he was sharing information about an impending attack.
So, they don't even have a chat group? They don't have screenshots like the first time? It's just these disgruntled employees who said that in the New York Times? Is that what I'm led to believe here, John?
I think that's what you're led to believe.
Yeah, I mean, with the first chat group, it was against Pentagon policy to use Signal for that. There were a lot of security issues with it, discussing details of an attack hours before.
What's that?
It's news that it was Pentagon policy not to use Signal, and it's the CIA that provided the Signal channels.
This is news to me.
Yeah, I mean, with the first chat group, it was against Pentagon policy to use Signal for that. There were a lot of security issues with it, discussing details of an attack hours before the bombs hit in Yemen. But the people in that chat were the vice president, the Secretary of State, people who would need to know. This second group, it appears that Hegseth was just cut and pasting this actionable intelligence about U.S. strikes to his wife. I can't think of any conceivable need they would have to know this information.
I'll be bluntly honest, though. If this was Obama or anyone else, we would have been laughing all over. We would have been great. These horrible people, impeach them.
So the guy, his wife is on the Signal chat. Why isn't his wife, that he sleeps with the woman?
Yeah, and his lawyer. He sleeps with his lawyer, too.
Everybody sleep with the lawyer.
Everybody sleeps with a lawyer.
He might, but he sleeps with... It's just beyond me. Now, my understanding, I tried to figure out what was going on here. I thought it was like because of his LGBTQ thing, but then I saw some analyst on one of the channels going on, and she said that this is all because Hegseth was one of the influencers telling Trump not to bomb Iran or listen to the Israelis at all, and to get into the negotiations instead of going to war. Another war in the Middle East is a bad idea. Hegseth was largely responsible, or at least one of the voices in that regard. And the Pentagon supposedly is still filled with neocons, and they wouldn't put up with this.
I believe that. The thing that I thought was really strange, I don't know if I'm about halfway through it, is that one of these guys shows up on Tucker the day later.
Right, that one of his old associates.
Caldwell.
Yeah, Caldwell.
What's up with that? That's strange.
And he makes the claim that it wasn't Hegseth that fired. It was like, it was part of two things happened. One, there was a cabal, because he says he never had the lie detector test that he was threatening everybody with. They just rousted three of Hegseth's old pals who were also against being neocons, or they're against the neocons.
Right.
So that may have been a political move. And then this Elliott guy, who was actually really was fired, He's the one who got the New York Times piece. I mean, it seems unlikely that this would, unless it was all schemed out, that you're going to get a New York Times op-ed, ready to go. I mean, come on.
Yeah, right away. I mean, if you and I had to write a New York Times op-ed, it'd take us a couple days.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the next day. I mean, I wouldn't take it. You could crank one out if you had it already on.
If we were going to be published in the New York Times, we would.
Yeah, you would take a day or two and you get some work done. But it would be. This is bull crap.
Yeah.
I believe it is. I think there's an analyst who said that it was
bull crap.
That this is all about the neocons trying to, you know, and it was part of the Wesley Clark group. Yeah. You know, Iran is last.
I believe it. I believe that for sure.
So they wanted to bomb Iran, and it's like, well, this guy's screwing things up.
Yeah, he's not doing a good job. He's messing around with the Houthis. Stop it. Go for the big cheese. So then he goes on Fox, and Hegseth is not good at this. He doesn't come across confident. And then his whole defense is, it wasn't confidential to start with, so it doesn't make any difference who I sent it to. That's his defense. But when Brian Kilmeade introduces you in the following manner, you've got to wonder what's really out there in the media space.
Well, that was President Trump doubling down on his support for Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth 24 hours ago, denying a New York Times report about sharing sensitive information on another signal chat called Team Huddle. Here to set the record straight himself, the current Secretary of State, Pete Hegseth, former host right here on Fox and Friends.
Wow! How about that former? And he's going to double down. Like, oh, I mean, he is the Secretary of Defense, but he says former Secretary of Defense. How does he come up with that? How does that happen?
That's a great catch.
Here to set the record straight himself, the current Secretary of State, Pete Hegseth, former host right here on Fox and Friends. Pete, hey, great Brian. To see you, Mr. Secretary.
Great to see you. Mr. Secretary, I'm sorry, Mr. Secretary. I know you're never going to take my call again. You want to answer my text, Mr. Secretary?
So your thoughts on what's been reporting of Team Huddle and the signal chat that the New York Times says took place between you, your wife, and your brother, and some others.
So now Hegseth is, I just clipped a little bit of it. He's waving his hands, he's smirking, he's sticking his tongue out. This is not good, Pete.
So, Brian, if you remember when this all started, the first go-around, because this is the second go-around, right? They peddle old stuff, they kick it back up. I said repeatedly, no one's texting war plans. You know why I said that? Because I'm in the bowels of the Pentagon every single day. Just 10 minutes ago, I was looking at actual war plans of things that were ongoing or pending things to happen.
What? Is there a war pending? What's happening? Brian, ask him, what war plans are you looking at? Do you always look at war plans? We have war plans? What's it going on?
Because that's on the regular. That's the
first thing I jump on.
Yeah. Like what?
And he sounds coked up or too much coffee.
Yeah. You know what it is? Gigawatts.
10 minutes ago, I was looking at actual war plans of things that were ongoing or pending things to happen, because that's on a regular basis on classified systems. That's my job for the war.
Did he say war pending? Let me listen again.
Or things.
So, Brian,
pending.
If you remember when this all started, the first go around, because this is the second go around, right? They peddle old stuff. They kick it back up. I said repeatedly, no one's texting war plans. You know why I said that? Because I'm in the bowels of the Pentagon every single day. Just 10 minutes ago, I was looking at actual war plans of things that were ongoing or pending things to happen. Because that's on a regular basis on classified systems. That's my job for the war fighters, for the President of the United States. I look at war plans every single day. What was shared over Signal then and now, however you characterize it, was informal, unclassified coordinations for media coordination and other things. That's what I've said from the beginning. At the beginning, it was left-wing reporters from The Atlantic who got a hold of it and then wanted to create a problem for the president. This is what it's all about, trying to get at President Trump and his agenda.
I'm protecting the president. Don't you see what I'm doing? I'm protecting President Donald J. Trump. By the way, World War III is pending. It's just pending. It's pending.
Looking at what war plans is the first thing I say. No, you know, Hegseth was one of the reasons he was picked because of his military service and the fact that he is media savvy. But to watch him go hysterical like this is not media savvy.
No, at all.
If he has to be he has to slow down.
Yeah.
And be calm and be a little more less hysterical. It sounds like he's like an old lady.
Yeah. Said the disgruntled podcasters. That's who we are.
Says the disgruntled podcasters. It's just not, it's not a good, he's
not a good look. It's not
somebody
good.
Should take him aside and say, you know, less coffee.
It's not a good look. Have you heard about the baby bonuses?
Yeah, well, this is an interesting situation, the baby bonuses, because all of a sudden now the left is saying this is a terrible idea, and the whole, I hope, maybe you have the clips from the View.
I have clips. No.
They condemned them.
Well, of course.
The Trump administration is considering ways to encourage more women to get married and have children, including a $5,000 baby bonus.
Sounds like a good idea to me.
The money would be offered to every American mother after she gives birth, an incentive aimed at increasing the country's historically low birth rate.
Do you think they come in with those big checks? Good job, Mom! You know, with those publisher big clearinghouse, check, big giant checks.
Confetti.
Which has declined since 2007. That year, approximately 4.3 million babies were born, compared to 3.6 million last year. Since taking office, the administration has made an effort to promote families.
So let me say very simply, I want more babies in the United States of America.
Simone Collins is a pronatalist pushing for ways to make it easier for people to have kids.
As much as I personally love the idea of getting $5,000 for another kid, it's not going to move the needle, and it's certainly not going to be enough for parents to decide that they can have that next kid or their first kid.
All right, so now the problem is it's not enough. Trump's not doing enough. What did Vice President Harris have? Didn't she have $3,000?
Yeah, it's 3,500 or something.
Yeah, so it's not enough.
And now it's great.
It's not enough.
Instead, she says there are simpler and cheaper ways the government can ease the burden on parents, such as loosening regulations on daycare programs and car seats. Collins and her husband have submitted several draft executive orders to the White House.
Yeah.
Loosening regulations on car seats?
Yeah, you want the ones that kill the baby. I don't know.
How is that better than $5,000 cash money?
It sounds to me like there's a lobby going on. The baby car seat lobby is getting in on the action here.
The government can ease the burden on parents, such as loosening regulations on daycare programs and car seats. Collins and her husband have submitted several draft executive orders to the White House, including one that would give a National Medal of Motherhood to women with six or more children.
We don't want to shame or coerce.
Walk.
What?
If she can walk.
The women with six or more children.
We don't want to shame or coerce anyone into having children. It's really a movement about making it easier for people who really like having kids to have the number of kids they want.
We have a lot of producers who have 8 or 9 kids. God bless them. Yeah.
I know, we do.
And you know what? You know what they never complain about? You never hear them complain about money. I said, we can make it work. You know, look at Laura Ingalls.
The old hand-me-down thing works fine, too. That's always ignored.
Yeah, hand-me-down, and you can start a publishing company, can make all the kids work. I'm sorry, that's you.
Put the kids eventually.
Yeah, put the kids to work, yeah. Start a home business. Have them all working on the assembly line. It's the American way. You got a farm, you got kids, you need kids to work on the farm. I'm all for it. I encourage it. I will come and give you a baby bonus. A big medal. We should have No Agenda medals for that.
We should.
So many ideas.
Many ideas.
In general, of course, I know we have the clips. I'm not going to look them up, but this was a racist idea because what they're really saying is we want more white babies. It'll come back again. They'll start saying it. They're only talking about white babies, and they want women to be baby factories. We're in the Handmaid's Tale. It's coming. It's coming. It's coming. You can bet on it. It's coming. Good idea. Well, that's what immigration was about. That was the Democrat Party idea was, hey, we're not having babies. Open the gates. Bring them on in. They're cheap. Whereas the cheapest labor is your own kids. $5 a week. And I'm serious. I'm not being flippant. It's great for kids to be doing stuff around the house. Doing, if you have a family, start a side hustle. Have them packing up products. That is truly the American way. I'm not being flippant, man. It's true. You're the living example of that.
Let's play this clip on food poisoning.
Oh.
That's a segue, huh?
That's a downer.
Help us understand just how safe our food is in the U.S.
Sure. So the U.S. food supply is...
said the British lady.
Sure.
Sure.
Sure. So the U.S. food supply is generally considered safe, but foodborne illness is still very common. There is the equivalent, essentially, of 1 in 6 Americans getting sick from foodborne illness every year. That's about 48 million cases annually.
Oh, my God. How bad is this? This vocal
and by
fry.
The way,
I know she's got vocal fry and massive. She's got an accent.
Yeah.
That means everybody, with every 6 years, everybody's gotten food poisoning.
Yeah, well, no.
Everybody.
No.
And as you mentioned, there are...
Yeah, that's the stat. 1 in 6 per year. So that means every 6 years... Everybody will have food poisoning. I mean, it's just basically statistics.
Okay. Thank you for that lesson.
There is the equivalent, essentially, of 1 in 6 Americans getting sick from foodborne illness every year. That's about 48 million cases annually. And as you mentioned, there are a fraction of those cases that end up with people in the hospital, and even about 3,000 people who estimated to die of foodborne illness every year. So there are some things that have improved. There are testing methods that have gotten better, where you're able to use genetic analysis, whole genome sequencing, to be able to trace back outbreaks to specific sources of food, but rates of infection from things like Listeria and Salmonella and E. coli have not improved in the ways that folks were hoping.
Well, this is very uplifting. And you have a second one, which makes it even more fun.
Well, I'm just saying, the food supply in this country is no good.
Oh, I don't know about that.
1 out of 6 people. There's a new video that's floating around. I saw it today. It's a really fat chick, a big fat chick. And her thing is to show what she eats all day.
She has big bones. Oh, no. This is, Tina finds these all the time. Like 400-pound women and then showing what they eat. And it's mesmerizing.
It is mesmerizing because most of the stuff's coming out of packages.
All of it.
They're always tearing open little pockets of things.
Bags and things with barcodes. All of it.
Bags of who knows what. And they're just gobbling it all down. Now, that kind of holds up with another one I saw, an interesting video. Some black guy who was talking about, bitching about chicken being watered back with injections. And he's on camera eating raw chicken. And that's all he's doing.
Well, what could possibly go wrong with that?
What is wrong with these people? But anyway, this is part two of the clip.
And you report a story about a pretty bad E. coli outbreak that hit 15 states last November. And the FDA chose not to publicize this outbreak. Why?
So the FDA managed, through their investigation, to trace the contaminated lettuce back to one farm and one food processor that purchased the lettuce from that grower. But the agency didn't disclose who either of those companies were. The FDA said that they were prohibited by federal law from disclosing that information, and that essentially there wasn't any contaminated lettuce left to buy on the market, so consumers didn't need that information. But there are many folks I spoke to who believe the public has a right to know who those companies were.
Mm. The Trump administration has also laid off thousands of workers from the FDA, including...
There it is.
Almost the entire staff responsible for communicating these outbreaks.
Oh, there it is. You got food poisoning? Blame Trump?
Yes, yeah, Trump's
know,
fault.
Are things different under Trump now for the FDA and for food safety?
Oh, yeah.
So these are really significant cuts that have been made to staff working on all sorts of aspects of food safety, including communicating about outbreaks of food. They shuttered an entire food safety testing lab in California. And there were also and almost the entire staff that worked on the safety of imported food. So there are significant concerns about what that will mean for these programs and the impact on public safety and public health. The Trump administration has said that these are cuts that are essentially getting rid of administrative staff, that this is sort of waste in federal spending, and that public health won't be affected and communications about outbreaks won't be affected. But these are changes we have not seen the likes of in any recent history.
We have an epidemic of vocal fry. What station was this? What broadcast?
This was one of the local PBS stations. Oh, okay.
Well,
probably WAMU, maybe.
She's probably somebody's wife. Yeah, honey, you can do it. You've got a great voice for broadcast.
You can do it.
You've got a great voice for broadcast. Bad. I do have a couple of tariff things I think we should
There's that. Oh, you're giving me crap for uplifting stuff. Well, terrorism. There we go.
No, not tariffs. Not terrorism. Tariffs.
Oh, tariff. They said terror. Tariffs. No,
tariffs. Not much happier than terrorism. But this clip, I'm glad that this this report was put together. Let me see. This was put this together. This is, I think this is also from Euronews, but it was a good report because I've seen these videos. There was a whole slew of them for a moment there, probably about 2 weeks ago when the tariffs just started. And it's something we've discussed over the years many times. Of course, our thoughts are completely wrong, but let's discuss after we talk about the U.S.-China trade war as it took to TikTok.
The ongoing trade war between the US and China is now all over TikTok, and European fashion houses have found themselves sandwiched somewhere in the middle. A bag from a high-end European fashion house such as Hermès, Louis Vuitton or Prada can cost hundreds of thousands of euros. But on TikTok, individuals claiming to be Chinese manufacturers say they are the ones really making these goods. Speaking in English and referring to prices in dollars, they appear to be targeting American consumers known for buying these goods.
For the past more than 30 years, we have been the OEM factory for most of the luxury brands around the world. Gucci, Prada, Coach, Louis Vuitton, you name it.
Real OEM factory for those luxury brands. We are the same group of people.
$30,000. And do you know how much it costs from us? If you buy from us, only less than one-tenth of its price.
On their website, Hermès lists locations where it produces and manufactures, but does not mention China. The same goes for Louis Vuitton. Meanwhile, the EU stipulates that for goods to be labeled made in Europe, their last substantial transformation must occur in the country of production. Investigative journalist Noémie Leclerc told Euroverify that the majority of these TikTok videos in fact display counterfeit products. Leclerc added that these videos are being posted as the Chinese government moves towards encouraging counterfeit production in a bid to retaliate against US tariffs. Despite this all, the luxury goods industry is shrouded with secrecy and protects the finer details of its supply chain. According to experts, luxury brands such as Ralph Lauren and Prada do manufacture in China at stages of the production process.
So what they're leading us to believe here is that this is not true. That all of these products are made in these countries, in France and in Italy. and the labeling, what they say here is the labeling has to be the country of most significant manufacturer. Well, I'd say putting the gold lame clasp on it that says Prada or Gucci or whatever is probably how they get around that. I think you and I are both of the opinion that this is absolutely Chinese crap. It's not even crap.
Oh, yeah.
It's good stuff.
I've been to China enough. I probably have more Armani stuff that I picked up in various stores
Armoni,
in China.
Armoni, but okay.
No, it says Armoni. It's got the real label on there. It's dynamite, and it's actually a good product.
You wear Crocs. How? I've never seen you in anything Armani.
I have never worn Crocs in my life.
Nah, they're Adidas they're knockoffs.
But I'm talking Armani. Speedos. I'm not talking about what shoes. I don't know.
I'm saying I've never seen you in Armani. I'd love to.
I have great shirts. It's shirts and ties.
You would look great in a tie.
I have a ton of, I used to collect ties. I still have a huge collection of ties.
Hmm, okay.
I can take some photos of my collection.
Please.
Anyway.
Armani.
You can buy Armani over there, and it's just the price is like $2.
Yeah.
And they, it's for the shirts.
Yeah.
And with the labels. And then they have, there's also that you can get the tailor-made suits over there, but they, you know, you'd probably talk them into putting an Armani label in there because they probably have them. But it's beside the whole thing is a joke. And Korea is the same way. You can go over there and buy all this. One time I went to Korea and I bought a bunch of Eddie Bauer stuff as gifts for a bunch of people when I came back. And it was all Eddie. It just looked like Eddie Bauer stuff to me. And they make it all over there, and they have a lot of overruns, and then they take the overruns and sell them on the street.
LVMH. Now, they own a lot of the, what is LVMH?
Louis Vuitton Moet Hennessy.
Do you know what their net profit was in 2024?
Some billions of billions.
13 billion.
Yeah.
Because they're making, I mean, this is what I liked about these videos, because they show you this stuff. It's like, hey, these Nike shoes, $2.
$2, right.
Tell me it's not true. Of course it's true. That's how all these, this is the biggest psyop. This is the true magic of American marketing, is that we have convinced consumers that it, if it has the brand on it, it's the real deal.
Well, it is the real deal.
That's the point. But they're marking it up by thousands of percents.
It's the real deal, and it's marked up because it's the real deal. If somebody can, you know, bypass the real deal and you get best price, you get the Chinese price.
Yeah.
That $1,000 deal is like, $50, $20, $10.
And where did COVID start? Right there where all the Chinese come in with all these bags under their arm into Italy, and they slap the label on. They brought,
actually, that's remember? True.
Yeah, of course it's true. Yeah, we remember that, it.
It's a part of Italy where there's all these Chinese.
Yeah. The Chinese, yes. And they're always coming over, going back and forth. What's that in your bag? Oh, nothing. Just a couple $1 million worth of Hermes bags. And we discuss this always in the context of Canal Street in New York. I don't know if that still exists. I think
it's not what it used to be. When I was a kid.
Oh, here we go.
So, and then I bought phony watches. I have somewhat of a collection, but there's some killers that are just, you wouldn't know the difference. They got the sweep secondhand. I mean, the cheap ones don't.
But that to me is a little different. A handsome, beautiful Swiss timepiece that you don't own. You just pass it on to the next generation.
So one of my favorite things is a story. I think it was associate publisher of PC Magazine. She was, she knew I was always going to, picking stuff up at on Canal Street. She said, can you get me a Rolex? A nice Rolex. I said, what do you want? The ones with diamonds all around it? She gave me a description. So I went and bought her a lady's Rolex.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Had a sweep second. It was the more expensive ones that had the sweep secondhand. So it really looked legit. It's got all the stampings on everything.
But that is clearly counterfeit.
Let me finish the story.
Okay.
So I give her the Rolex. She said, holy crap, this looks like a real Rolex. And I said, yeah, very much so. She puts it on, and about a week later, she comes up to me. She says, yeah, here's the Rolex back. I said, what, you didn't like it? She says, no, it was great, except I knew it wasn't real, and I didn't feel comfortable wearing it. And it was just a response I did not expect.
That's the story?
Yeah, the story is that people, that you can tell them, it's the same, say it's the same exact product, the Louis Vuitton bag, they would rather, you know, buy one, pay the $1,500 instead of $15, because, you know, it makes them feel more comfortable. The whole thing is, they've been brainwashed.
So I look at it a little differently, and my hope is, I know, Don Quixote, I know, my hope is that American consumers, which is what we are, we're all just consumers for the rest of the world, that we look at that and go, huh, that's kind of dumb, what I'm doing.
Well, you know? It's kind of dumb what you're doing, you mean by buying bags at all?
By buying non-value for value products, just based on status.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's dumb. You know, buy
you
a
think?
Buy a good, solid American product that's made well and looks good. I know we have to come up with those products, but eventually
we don't have those anymore.
We have the Pearl Boot Company. They're perfect. Don't buy cheap
one
Chinese
guy.
Boots. Well, it's a start. One guy is a start. It's one guy. Speaking of Rolex is an expensive watches, television tip for you. I don't think you can watch. You don't have Apple TV Plus, though, do you? No, you don't have that.
What is it that I should be watching on the Apple TV Plus?
Your Friends and Neighbors, starring John Hamm.
Is it a good show?
Very good show. Hedge fund manager gets fired. I'll give you the synopsis. Starts stealing from his friends and neighbors. And it's John Hamm. It's very good.
He starts stealing?
Yeah, like,
you know, like a cat burglar?
Well, he just, yeah, like a cat burglar starts stealing, you know, $300,000 watches. Yeah, they won't miss it anyway.
That might be interesting.
Yeah, but you have to get Apple TV Plus. I don't think that's not something you would get. It doesn't feel like a Dvorak channel.
Apple TV Plus, not happening.
No, I knew it. I knew it.
I already got subscriptions to Hulu, whatever it is, the top level of Hulu.
Disney
so
Plus.
So you don't get all these ads.
Disney Plus, Concierge Service.
I don't get Disney Plus. Now, forget Disney Plus. Hulu, Netflix, and Amazon, that's all you need. How much more entertainment feeds do you
don't.
Need?
You don't. I'm in total agreement with you. Don't need it at all. We need to come up with some good American products. It's clunky and ugly, but it's American and priced right.
There's yeah, we slogan. Can't do it anymore. I think this whole thing's a pipe dream.
Here's something right up your alley, though.
Imagine this. Maybe you should watch movies before you vote on them. Oscar voters will no longer be able to skip watching some of the nominated movies.
It's unreal that they were able to before. It is just one of the new updated rules announced by the Academy of Motion Pictures, Arts and Sciences.
Members will now be required to watch all nominated films in each category in order to be eligible to vote in the final round of Oscar.
Stop the clip for a second. This is a funny clip because I guess some steering committee came along and looked at all the movies that watched the awards, won the awards, and said to themselves eventually, did anybody actually watch these films?
That's exactly what happened. How do we get...
Because the movies that have been winning awards suck.
Members will now be required to watch all nominated films in each category in order to be eligible to vote in the final round of Oscar voting.
And now it's even Steven. The Academy also updated its rules to clarify the use of artificial intelligence in movies. It says the technology will not disqualify a film from being able to nab an Oscar nomination.
Buried the lead on that one, too. Well, where's the outrage? Scaramanga has a shot.
He does.
In the ultra short movie category of 30 seconds or less, only published ever on X, Francisco Scaramanga.
I thought
yeah, I thought it was interesting.
Here's his story. He played the Great China story, the Great China.
Earlier today in the Eastern District Court of New York, Linda Sun and her husband, co-defendant Chris Hu, appeared alongside their attorneys for a court conference. The polished look couple allegedly earned millions of dollars in kickbacks for their ties to the Chinese regime. During the court meeting, a prosecutor revealed that they are finalizing Chinese translations of evidence against Sun. Those include text messages, emails, and other communications between Sun and Chinese officials. These materials are expected to be made public during the trial. Sun served as New York Governor Kathy Hochul's top aide in charge of Asian affairs. In 2023, Sun was fired for misconduct without specifying reasons. Last September, federal law enforcement arrested her and her husband. They now face multiple criminal accounts. Sun is accused of acting as an unregistered foreign agent of Communist China, making her case one of the most high-profile cases of its kind. The government accuses Sun of furthering Beijing's interest while being a state official, including disclosing internal COVID-related meetings to Chinese diplomats and blocking Taiwanese officials' interactions with two New York governors. Images show Sun had attended multiple meetings hosted by China's spy agency and other state entities.
Yeah, we had that clip. We had that story.
It was buried. This is from NTD. Where's the mainstream media talking about this Kathy Hochul and Governor Cuomo's aide. They finally busted her. I mean, they really threw the book at her.
Well, we had a, you had a 3x3 even on this.
Yeah, but that was a, they haven't followed up at all.
You want to play one of those, the NBC version from September 2024?
Sure.
The former top aide to New York Governor Kathy Hochul was arrested today on charges of acting as a secret agent of the Chinese government. Chief Justice contributor Jonathan Dean is following this. And John, according to prosecutors, how did this work?
Yeah, well, prosecutors say Linda Sun betrayed her official office by instead acting on requests of Chinese communist government officials. Sun is charged with acting as an unregistered foreign agent. Her husband was also arrested today. He's accused of laundering millions of dollars from China into the U.S. The couple pleaded not guilty in federal court. According to the indictment, the scheme went on for years. In return, Sun and her husband were allegedly given business opportunities in China and luxury gifts. The FBI says the pair used that money to buy a $4 million home on Long Island and a $2 million condo in Hawaii. Governor Hochul's office says Sun was fired last year after evidence of misconduct was discovered, Lester.
Yeah, so it just covered up.
This ended right there.
Yeah, well, Hochul is the queen, man. You can't tell her. She's like the Red Queen. You can't go messing with her. Before you know it, you get Eric Adamed.
Poor guy.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. 2 minute warning. Do you have one more clip you want to get in there?
Well, I think I may have had, since you mentioned Eric Adamed, I may actually have an Eric Adamed clip. What do we got here?
Yeah. Make sure you stay on the mic, though.
Here, Rikers Island fiasco. Two-parter.
Ann Homan today also criticized New York City officials for blocking the mayor's executive order that gives ICE agents access to Rikers Island Jail. NTD's Arlene Richards has the latest.
A clash between Mayor Eric Adamed and New York City officials has led to a court order on Monday blocking federal agents from access to Rikers Island Jail, where Border Czar Tom Homan says several terrorist gang members are being held.
You got the city council filing a lawsuit to shut down our memorandum of understanding, the executive order he signed to get us in Rikers Island.
A New York judge ordered city officials to temporarily halt the plan allowing federal immigration agents to operate within the Rikers Island jail complex. Judge Mary Rosato barred the city from taking any steps toward negotiating, signing, or implementing any memorandum of understanding with the federal government before an April 25th hearing in a suit challenging the plan. Adams said years ago, City Council member Robert Holden suggested ICE presence at Rikers Island.
It was interesting. The first person that brought that to me about utilizing Rikers, ICE on Rikers, was Councilman Holden. This is before this administration took office. Holden reached out. As a matter of fact, I have a few texts.
What is wrong with him? He can't get three words out at the same time, concurrently.
Rikers. ICE on Rikers was Councilman Holden. This is before this administration took office. Holden reached out. As a matter of fact, I have a few text messages from him that saying, listen, why aren't we doing this?
Holman said with Adams' permission, immigration and customs agents were able to successfully collaborate with state and local law enforcement, leading to the indictment of 27 suspected members of Venezuelan gang Trende Aragua.
This is out of control, this resistance.
Yeah.
By the Democrats. Now they want the Rikers, the guys that are in there, they can just go grab them, but no. Unbelievable. This part two. You're done.
We sent a strong message to Trent Agua. We're going to keep doing this through every TDA member, MS-13 members removed from the country.
Attorney General Pam Bondi announced on Tuesday that 27 alleged members or affiliates of Trende Aragua had been charged under the RICO statute, a law with widespread application that was historically used to break up a mob organization.
Yeah.
ICE agents previously had a presence on Rikers Island, but they were banned from operating there in 2014 under New York City's sanctuary laws. In February, Adams announced he would allow agents to return to Rikers to assist with gang and drug-related investigations. Council members in their lawsuit accuse Adams of agreeing to plan as a way to pay off the Trump administration in exchange for dropping criminal charges against him.
Oh, man, they're still doing that. It's all no good. This is not a good way to go out.
Oh, well, you mean at the show?
Yeah, the show. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, do I have anything funny?
Yeah, no, I shot my wad on the funny. I'm all done. We should have done the
faded tattoo. Faded tattoo is good.
Oh, okay. All right. This is your last chance.
This is it. It's short.
This is all right.
In 2021, a company announced a new kind of temporary tattoo, one designed to fade after 9 to 15 months. Ephemeral Tattoo is the company, and it was perfect for Raimi Isofano.
Someone who knew that they did not want a permanent tattoo ever.
Isofano says tattoos are cool. She's just not a long-term commitment kind of girl. So a few years ago, she thought, what's the worst that could happen?
Little did I know that almost 3 years later, my silly chicken on a skateboard tattoo would still be on my upper arm.
Ouch. Emily Kager got her ephemeral tattoo in 2022. She's the proud owner of two dogs, Shaggy Golden Doodles. And she thought, why not get one in space with an astronaut and let's even throw a few stars around them?
I actually didn't even see the final design until the day of, which at the time felt fine because I wasn't expecting it to stick around forever.
And yet, Kager's space dog is also still around almost 3 years later. She says she recently had to cover it in a foreign bathhouse where exposed tattoos are not permitted.
Well, not every.
Well, I'm glad that our tax money is still going to NPR. That is really good. The faded tattoo story. Excellent, John. Excellent. Hey, if you were wondering what's going to happen next, we got tip of the day. We got end of show mixes. We got nights. We got Commodores. We got meetups. We got all kinds of stuff.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda. Imagine all the people who could do that. Oh, yeah, that'd be fab. Yeah, on No Agenda.
But first, we'll give you a smattering of funny little one-liners from the people who supported us, $50 and above. We want to thank everybody, as always, for supporting the show financially so that we can continue to do this as a public service and never, ever have to go to a concierge level. John is going to read them for us.
Yeah, I am. As a matter of fact, this is exactly what I'm going to do. Starting with Ian Field, $100, parts unknown. Dakota Cole in Sherwood, Oregon, $100. Ryan Rickenhagen in Townsend, Georgia, $100. He's spreading the ITM gospel in southern Georgia.
All right.
Good barbecue down there. Sir Chris, not a spook, in Arlington, Virginia, which you know what that means.
He is a spook, obviously.
8873s. Kevin McLaughlin, there he is, 8008. He's the Archduke of Luna, lover of America and boobs. That's followed by Cameron Linga in North Branch, Minnesota. And he says he's here, and 7733 from him, and he's here for John's
chimes. The chimes, yes.
Yeah, that's a good thing to be here for. Brian Kaufman, Scottsdale, Arizona, 7575. Matthew Elwart in Weatherford, Texas, 6006. Andrew Foreman in Boca Raton, Florida. He needs some jobs karma, so we'll give him that at the end.
Oh, listen to what he says here. He says he's facing a reorg at work. It's a testimonial. And Linda Lupatkin has me prepared thanks to the show. Huh?
5555 from him.
Nice.
And he also says the show keeps him sane.
Well, that's because we're not concierge level.
Carl Vogler in Dillon Beach, California, 5510. Sir Luke in London, UK, 55. Wants collective karma for everybody. Brett Morgan, 5272. This is a newsletter donation.
Newsletter donation.
That's the only one. Sabode Pet in Metairie, Louisiana, 5272. There's a dollar for each one of Dorian Gray's 50 kids, plus fees. Baron Henry of Outpost West, and he's in Rancho Palos Verdes, 5242. Jeff Volks in London. He's also in London, but he's in London, Ontario, Canada, 50-50. And he wants karma. So we have a lot of karma.
Karma's coming, yeah.
Priya in Korea. There you go. $50.50. And it's a birthday shout out to her husband. Would love to surprise him. We are driving back home after our camping trip. Thank you so much.
Well, no, that's nice.
Happy birthday to Nate in shining armor.
Hope you that's enjoyed nice. Your phone inside the drawer moments looking up at the stars. With love, Rhea in Korea.
Forrest Martin, 50.05. Andrew Benz in Imperial, Missouri, 50.05. And now the rest are $50 donors. There's a few of them. And it's the name and location, starting with Douglas Mook in Cochranton, Pennsylvania. Bold City Virtual Tours in Jacksonville Beach, Florida. Alexa Delgado in Aptos. Melissa Alvarez in Pontevedra Beach, Florida. A lot of beach livers today. Brett Denton in Boise. Angus McBride in Manchester, UK. I got some Brits today. That's
we do.
Nice.
That's good.
Good. Robert Vinson in Mars, Pennsylvania. Sir Greg in Newport, North Carolina. And last on our list, short list, I might add, very short, Michael Myers in Amandeville, Louisiana. I want to thank everybody that helped us out here on show 1758.
And again, thanks to our executive and associate executive producers. We appreciate what you do. You've got your credits. And of course, everybody who came in under $50, we never mention those for reasons of anonymity. And we always have those sustaining donors, any amount, any frequency. It is so much appreciated. Karma. So we want karma and jobs karma. So we'll add the jobs. We'll add a goat
jobs,
to it.
Jobs, jobs, and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. You thought. Karma.
NoAgendaDonations.com. Please support the show. NoAgendaDonations.com. And there we have Sir Haggis wishing his brother Sir Ramen Noodles a belated happy birthday. He turned 44 on 420. Rhea and Korea, happy birthday to her husband Nate. They're on their way back. Oh, it's so nice. And Sir Haggis himself turns 50 years old. So we have to say happy birthday to him and everybody who celebrates a birthday today on behalf of the best podcast in the universe. It's your And that's where Baron Steve Banstra of the BNA comes in. He upgraded thanks to an additional $1,000 over time that he supported to the show. So he can now proudly call himself Viscount Steve Banstra of BNA. And we appreciate your contribution, sir. We have two Commodores. It officially ends May 1st. So if you want that handsome Commodore certificate, you got to hurry up. Go to NoAgendaDonations.com. Or is it NoAgendaRings.com? Or is it NoAgendaCommodores.com? Where can we find out about the Commodore promotion, John? Is it noagendarings.com?
I think in noagendarings you'll find it.
Okay. We welcome the following two Commodores, Commodore Carrie Cates and Commodore Mike. Both of you now official Commodores of the No Agenda Show. Commodores arriving. We got a layaway note, night note from Pierre Lamouche. Hey, that was a pretty good bosun whistle you got there. Pierre says, hey, John and Adam, in the morning, or in my case, in the afternoon. A bit long overdue, but my donations have passed the threshold. Time to make it official. Chevalier Pierre Lamouche de Francophine.
Chevalier.
What is a chevalier? It's like a horseman?
No, but I was thinking that might replace the Commodore thing.
Chevalier. What? Look that up while I'm reading here. Chevalier.
I'll look it up.
Pierre Lamouche. Look it up while you're reading. Chevalier. Hoping for something with more culture at the Fête du Rhône table. Normandy Brie from Costco. Oh, wow. Oh, man. Did I order these? Normandy Brie from Costco. Orangina. Yeah, I don't like
I thought it was more class going to Costco.
And some vache qui rit, which isn't that the laughing cow? Yes.
Yes, that's exactly what it is.
And for the other night, cheese for other nights, some culture.
Pardon Chevalier is a knight and a member of certain orders of knighthood of modern France, such as the Legion of Honor.
I like that, Chevalier. I knew it had something to do with a horse.
Historical Chevalier. British, also the title of James and Charles Stuart, pretenders to the English throne.
So this is our one French guy. He says, please give
our one French guy.
This is it. Please give Emmanuel Macron double goat karma with hopes he might repent and break up the father-son duo. Because we all know. Repenting.
Is he talking about his
wife?
His wife being his father?
I don't know.
I think so.
Repenting sufficiently to free the French people from the grip of EU tyranny. If his demons can be cast out, he might even let Marine Le Pen have a fair election as next president. Oui, all the way home. Merci for your ongoing courage. May your exit strategy remain ever elusive. Sorry, but we love you guys. Selfishly want to keep you around. Eh? Pierre Lamouche.
Italian.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm doing my best here. So that means that we not only knight him, but we also knight two other gentlemen. So if you can grab your blade there for a second.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Very good. Here we go. So step on up, Pierre Lamouche, Mark Kucharski, and Shweddy. All three of you now become knights of the No Agenda Roundtable, or as some would say, a chevalier. So I hereby pronounce the KD as Sir Chevalier Pierre Lamouche de Francophonie, Sir Red Devil, and Sir Shweddy for you at the roundtable. By request, we have Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys, and Chardonnay. But also, we have Sapporo and Sushi, Bellhaven Scottish Ale on tap, of course, Normandy Brie from Costco, Orangina, and a little bit of Vashkiri. Along with that, we always have the Bong Hits and Bourbon Sparkling Cider and Escort, Ginger Ale and Gerbils, Breast Milk and Pablum, and of course, the Mutton and the Mead. Head over to noagendarings.com. Gentlemen, that is where you will find the beautiful and handsome knight ring. It's a signet ring, so we give you two sticks of wax. You can do anything you want with it, but we suggest using it to seal your important correspondence, and as always, a certificate of authenticity. Welcome both to the roundtable, and thank you so much for your courage and for supporting the best podcast in the universe.
No Agenda Meetup.
Yes, the No Agenda Meetups to be found at noagendameetups.com. This is where you get together with other slaves of Gitmo Nation, all around Gitmo Nation. It is a global phenomenon. People like to organize these all the time and frequently. Again, you can find the list and the calendar at noagendameetups.com. Connection gives you protection when you go to these meetups. These are the people who will help you out. They are truly your first responders in an emergency. I've been requesting people put their servers into their meetup reports, and the TooManyEggs.com Southwest New Hampshire meetup took it very seriously.
In the morning, gentlemen. This is Crypto Duke. We're at the TooManyEggs.com meetup number 11 here in Keene, New Hampshire at Margaritas. I'm going to pass the phone around to other people here.
Thank you, Josh. Sirloin of Beef, how are you doing, guys? It is an interesting day because we had months ago a trainee waiter who is actually
6 months ago.
6 months ago. And at this point, he has announced he is leaving. So he had his first day in this position and his last day in this position. You will hear from him later. His name is Chase.
Hey, you two. It's Joanne. Thank you for your courage.
Hi, guys. This is Chase. And yeah, they came in when I was first starting here about 6 months ago training. And now today comes my last day, and I got him again, and obviously it was great. I tried doing my best, and I just hope that everyone loves the place. You know, come back, and I got my trainee Jade here with me today as well, so kind of a full circle moment. Here we go. Going from the trainee to the trainer, but yeah, now I'm wrapping up here. Here you go.
In the morning.
Yeah, in the morning, guys.
Good morning.
All right, let's review. No, that was not what I was talking about. A quick hello. I'm the server. I love No Agenda. But anyway, thank you very much, Chase. Couple of meetups taking place today. The North Georgia two-year anniversary meetup, 6 o'clock at Cherry Street Brewing in Alpharetta, Georgia. It's like a party in Sacramento in a few hours at 6 o'clock at Sack Yard in Sacramento, California. On Saturday, the No Agenda Central Ohio meetup, that kicks off at noon at Jackie O's in Columbus, and the Michigan Local One tariff-free meetup. No tariffs. Three, they must have some kind of concierge package. 333 Brewer Becker in Brighton, Michigan. That's Saturday. Also on Saturday, Flight of the No Agenda, number 62, Leo Bravo does it again. 333 at Proud Bird in Los Angeles. And our last meetup, also on Saturday, Escape from Chicago at 4 o'clock in Reggie's in Chicago, Illinois. I guess you go there and then you plan your escape. Many more happening around the world. Go to noagendameetups.com. This is where you can find every single one of them. If you can't find one near you, here's a bright idea. Start one yourself. NoAgendaMeetups.com. Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. Bum, bum, bum. You want to be where you won't be. Triggered or held to blame. You want to be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party. It is just like a party. Just like a party. Let's see. Oh, yes, it's time for the ISOs. This is where John comes up with some stupid AI stuff, and I try to beat him. I try to beat the machine. This is now my... do you even have ISOs today?
No.
You have no ISOs?
So your whole premise is bullcrap.
Well, you just gave up. It's like, because you couldn't come up... You didn't want to pay the $20 to 11 labs to come up with new voices. You just gave up?
No, I've got some in abeyance. Well, I'm having an outsider do some.
Well, why did you give up for today? You have to have at least one ISO. That's
I have nothing because I just completely dropped the ball.
Okay, well, I only have two.
Yeah! Wrangle up that best podcast in the universe. Yeah!
That one's no good.
Well, that sucks.
I think this is the one.
I'm not AI, Boomer.
No, that's no good.
This is better than anything, than nothing.
The first one was better.
I'm not AI, Boomer.
I'm not AI, Boomer. You don't like that one?
No, I can't understand her.
It's the kid named Wave. Well, but then what are we going to do?
Would you play the first one again?
Hold on a second. I can cut it off. I mean, I could make it short. It's too long. This is bad. But I have this one.
That's a lot of tips.
I can't hear that one either.
Yeah! Wrangle up that best podcast in the universe. Yeah!
Well, we're going to have to go with
if
that one.
If you take the second yeah off, that'd be okay.
The second yeah is gone. But now it is time for the moment you've all been waiting for. This is the original John Tip of the Day.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCD.
And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
So I've been getting these, this happens about once a month. I'll do a cleaning tip. And this is another one. And these are all these brands I never heard of, but they seem to make really good quality products. And this one in particular is Grandma's Secret Spot Remover. So this is a laundry spray that has
this.
No chlorine, no
this.
Bleach.
I need this.
Toxin free. A stain remover for clothes, a fabric stain that takes out oil, blood, paint, and pet stains.
Wow.
Goes for about $18 for two bottles. You can get it on Amazon and elsewhere, but the brand is Grandma's Secret.
Now, does it also take out wine and tomato sauce? Because those are my two favorite spots to make.
It should.
Okay. Kind of an anticlimax there.
Well, I don't know. I haven't used it. This is one of Mimi's tips.
You know, Bill O'Reilly, at least he uses the stuff that he recommends.
This is like a Mimi tip. There's a couple of things in abeyance that I put aside because I haven't used them, but people have recommended them. I have to go check them out.
Why don't we just...
But Mimi, I trust her. She knows what she's doing when it comes to cleaning.
Why don't we just get Mimi on the show for the tip of the day?
This is one tip from Mimi.
No, it's
and
not
I'll tell
the,
her that you hate her.
No, because I need the tax information. Don't tell her just yet. Wait until I get the K-1. All right, everybody. There it is. John C. Dvorak, Tip of the Day. Tipoftheday.net and NoAgendaFun.com.
Great advice for you and me. Just the tip with JCD.
And sometimes Adam. Created by Dana Bernetti.
No concierge level needed for your tip of the day here at the No Agenda Show. In fact, you don't need anything to enjoy the media deconstruction that we bring to you twice a week. Now in our 18th year, we are proud to do it as a public service. However, If you get any value from the show, consider supporting us. NoAgendaDonations.com.
Yeah, and get in on the Commodore ship before it ends.
Yes, and the Chevalier ship. We have three end-of-show mixes, which are all brand new. Sir Michael Anthony, we got Professor Jay Jones, and Sound Guy Steve. It's been a while. He's back as well. I think you'll enjoy them. They are definitely ones for the archives. And coming up next on the live stream in your modern podcast app, trollroom.io, noagenda.stream, the Millennial Media Offensive. This is already episode 166. Everybody loves the MMO show. It's a big hit over there at the in the troll room. And I am coming to you from the heart of the Texas Hill Country, where JFK Jr. is coming back. And any minute now, we're going to be under martial law. In the morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And I'm from northern Silicon Valley, where we don't see martial law coming in. But the fog is coming in. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday. Please join us then. And remember us again, noagendadonations.com. For a good time, go to noagendadonations.com. Until then, adios, mofos, a hooey hooey and such.
Hello, this is Klaus Schwab, the founder of the World Economic Forum. You may have heard by now, I am retiring. Jawohl, jawohl, I give up. The New World Order is kaput. We are losing, but we will do everything in our power to drag you down with us. This is not over. Hasta la vista, baby.
By September, we will know what has caused the autism epidemic.
Government will know what causes autism by September, you guys. Mark it on your calendars. Maybe it's some spray that we spray that other places don't spray.
I know. Kennedy knows it's vaccines.
And those of us who didn't get it never regretted not taking it. Time will tell whether he totally cucks out.
Why are there so many kids on the street?
Scientists do not know exactly what causes it.
The numbers rise.
Kennedy knows it's vaccines.
Autistic babies
have increased exponentially.
Just an illusion. Pharma got nothing to hide.
80% of autism is vaccine-induced.
Out we were sold, but most preferred deceivers.
Autism experts.
Went wrong with vaccines.
I know, Kennedy knows it's vaccines.
One day he'll find it.
Partly compromises or gradually reveals the vax connection proof.
Bobby, the best Kennedy.
Virology is a fake science entirely pretend, and the vaccines are an extension of that fictional science.
Who said that every stone
autism experts
inspected when studies don't go so
they just need a couple more centuries to do some research, you guys.
Release, copy that. Most dupes believe
scientists
it.
Do not know exactly what causes it.
They want to fall hard.
The cause of autism is anti-Semitism.
It's so pervading.
Kennedy knows it's vaccines.
Sheep grazing, watching them roll up their sleeves.
Bitch about Coachella.
One day he'll find it. The spectrum connection. Bobby, the best Kennedy.
What Trump did with this comment, and I have a term for this, what Trump's doing, it's called the blurt.
The blurt. The blurt.
And this is basically what he did with, they're eating the dog.
What I say is what I say. And honestly, if you don't like it, I'm sorry.
They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists.
This is the legacy of Hillary Clinton. Death, destruction, terrorism, and weakness. In Springfield, they're eating the dogs.
I like the blurt.
Trump just did it on the fly. I don't care what anybody thinks.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too.
He has also said that the United States is not going to pay for the rebuilding of Gaza.
And we will pursue our manifest destiny into the stars, launching American astronauts to plant the stars and stripes on the planet Mars.
I got another blurt. This is a boomer blurt.
We're telling Ukraine they have very valuable rare earth. So we're looking to do a deal with Ukraine where they're going to secure what we're giving them with their rare earth and other things.
He didn't say.
say he wasn't going to invade Greenland, but he didn't rule it out either.
We have to have Greenland. It's not a question of, do you think we can do without it? We can.
Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen.
I'm not going to give you a question. You are fake news.
Let's find out if they're friend or foe. And if they're foe, let's take care of that son of a bitch.
I wish they'd make our country great, but they're going to destroy our country.
They call her Pocahontas.
They're eating the dogs.
Mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA
Yeah! Bring a look at that best podcast in the universe.